This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
I like that, Krista.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know. Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. Nice. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
And we're back. But no Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, PFW in Progress, Wednesday afternoon. And the great Doug has taken care of us today like no one has ever taken care of us before. A couple large pepperoni pizzas, four huge orders of boneless buffalo wings, and a turkey sub to keep the crybaby over there happy. And boy, did he devour that. Full 12 didn't last long.
Thanks, Doug.
Well, as he said before he started, good night.
Say good
night. And it was a quick good night. We are fat and happy, happier than we've ever been. You know, when each of us gets an order of boneless buffalo wings, that's just the makings, the fuel for a tremendous show.
We actually had a 2-to-1 ratio going for a while because Gary was just picking.
Fred Kirsch is not going to be happy when he finds out the...
Doug, now the king of the emailers.
He has a hot dog and came out as orange.
So I have an email here from Doug, who, as I said...
Thank you very much, Doug.
Took care of us like no other. You are the best, Doug. And this one is Gary. Let's get it done. Laugh out loud. As some of you who listen regularly may know, we've gone a little bit back and forth with Doug over the weeks, and we sort of ripped him a little bit last week and questioned his ability to get things done. And
to use a phone.
To use a phone to place an order. But all that's in the past. We forgive you for the delay because you came through like, as I said, no other. Gary, my two brain cells bumped into...
We forgive you.
My two brain cells bumped into one another and formed a thought. If I go back and listen to the PFW replay, I might get a phone number. Ta-da! Bingo! And then he called it in at 10. And hope you didn't get an offer yet. No, you saved us. We didn't have an offer for lunch yet, so...
Excellent.
You
Thanks.
Came through with the greatest of all great lunches. Now I got to eat.
All right, more importantly, who's the blonde on NFL Network? Anybody know?
No.
It's, Flanagan? Erin Flanagan? Something like that?
Not bad, no.
I haven't really seen her. And I don't think I'll be watching her much because I'm not going to be paying to get the NFL Network.
Yeah, that's...
I will.
You know, you guys probably didn't talk about that at all. Did you get any...
Alex Flanagan.
Did we get any emails on that? That whole
no.
paid tier? For those other than guys like Tom that are, you know, such...
Losers.
Hardcore. Yeah, I was going to be
five
nice.
Bucks.
I was being nice.
That's what they do. They get you $5 here, $5 there. All
but
of a sudden, you get your bill. It's $150 for cable.
You're right. I already have it, and my bill's $110 a month for cable. You're exactly right.
And you're watching
right.
The Christmas Story on Turner Classic Movies.
So and the NFL Network.
See, I was under the... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe am I misinformed? I thought that was going to be put on a tier.
I already have that tier.
That you're going to have to pay extra for.
Yes, that is correct.
But I think he already had to.
It's that. Remember when I came in and said I got college sports TV and all those channels? That's the tier it's
right.
going to be on now.
It's college sports.
But I already have it.
It's like Fox Soccer, Speed. There's like a whole group of, I don't know, 10 or 12 channels that it's now included.
And you'll watch one of them. Trust
is that
me.
Right. Different in Rhode Island?
Oh, yeah. It's different with Cox.
Because I need HBO's here to get
This
NFL
is a Comcast thing. Well, I have
yeah,
HBO.
Yeah, no, they're taking it away but they're taking it away from that now because HBO, they're losing The Sopranos. So the cable companies are afraid everyone's going to drop their HBO because so many people get HBO just for The Sopranos. So that's why they're taking the NFL Network off the HBO package.
See, I won't be paying anything extra to get NFL Network.
I won't be either because I rarely watch it.
I rarely watch games.
I rarely watch it.
What games?
Late in the season.
Half the time I'm working.
How are you going to watch the highlight shows the next day?
If I didn't have to work, yeah, then maybe I would get it.
Plus you get the Fox networks for some college football, Pac-10 action.
You're a loser.
The Fox networks?
Yeah, the Fox Sports, like Fox
Sports. So we're
going to
lose
West.
Fox Sports?
No, the other ones.
Like Fox Sports West
and Mountain, Central.
Well, all the Pac-10
Mountain.
Games are on Fox.
Not Colorado State and Air Force.
Well, I have no real interest in that.
Do you work for Comcast? Doing an awful hard job
Does
trying
he do
to sell
any,
this to us.
No, the other part of that was more accurate. Do you work at all? Peter, do you do anything?
Not on Saturdays during home games.
Our show should make COTS bigger.
I mean, yes. there's 45 other games on Saturdays. You can't find one on another channel that
you don't have
to pay for?
Not at 9:30 at night. There's
sure
always
there
a
are.
Good Mountain West game on. Sometimes they're boring.
You're a Cox subscriber.
Wow.
Fred's not even here, and he's bringing us down.
Learning a lot. This is why Tom's the draft guru, Andy. That's why you and I lag
behind.
That's
why he said Alan,
I shouldn't put, I'm
Alan
sorry.
Branch is not going to be 24.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't put you in with me. That's why I lag behind the draft experts here, because rather than just watching the game that, ABC, ESPN has on, I don't know.
He's digging.
Michigan, Ohio State, or another, nonsensical game. He's watching Air Force Colorado State.
But, Paul,
that's why that's why he knew Clint Oldenburg.
But you'd never seen a game on ABC that was a blowout? Sometimes there's blowouts.
Yeah, but I've never seen a game that I would rather watch Colorado State.
But I didn't
Force
say
over.
I would rather watch it. I say sometimes if the other games are blowouts, I'll go up there and see what's on, and if the game's close and exciting, I'll watch that. Sometimes those whack games are, pretty good games.
That's the other problem, why I never go up to half those places. Because I have so many problems with my stupid cable box that sometimes I get stuck on a channel, and I don't want to get stuck on channel 267 or something.
Well, plus, you're all HD, so.
Well, I'm all HD. That's true.
You're having some serious issues with your cable box.
Sucks.
If you're actually afraid. You're afraid to put a channel on because you're afraid it's going to stick there?
My box stinks.
Andy, you know what you have to do. Mine does the same thing. You know what you have to do is you have to not touch it for like 20 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, you got to let
that annoys
it sit.
Me.
I know. Mine does the same thing. We have those bad boxes. It has the 888 on it.
I got a bad, stinky box.
All right, enough.
Oh, that's right. We're being more mature.
We're raising the bar.
We're raising the bar and losing listeners as
we speak.
We're trying to get television people to listen.
Right. Put on socks. Anyway, Gillette Stadium, Wednesday afternoon. Junior Seau is back in a Patriots uniform for,
Do you have to be so confrontational?
What? Junior Seau. We're going to talk about conversations. Confrontations. It's Junior Seau. He picks fights.
Now
people.
I see why you wanted to be the host, Paul.
Thank you very much, Tom.
The show is going down the tubes.
I think it's a great move. You got no depth there. The guy played well last year.
Unexpected.
No brainer.
Once the draft came and went, we kind of figured, well, Seau's probably on the speed dial.
But to keep up with the people that are the oldest in the league at their various positions, Vinny Testaverde also in the house. One, Gary Gradecki is reporting
today
that he was on his way out to passing camp.
Gradecki.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, per somebody who works for this show, who will remain unnamed at this point.
Not on the panel.
No. So that would be.
No, but we do know that Vinny has been here. Story in the Boston Herald today. Karen Garigian spoke with Vinny's advisor, not necessarily his agent, but he's a guy who has worked in an agent capacity for Vinny in the past, says that, yes, he is not retired. He is here in New England. He's been working out. Nothing is imminent, but, I would certainly say it's safe to connect the dots here and say that all signs would indicate that Testaverde will be a part of the Patriots at some point.
He's
going to
let it go.
As a coach? Last year we saw him and we were like, you got to be kidding me. This guy looks like he's 60.
Yeah, I don't understand why he would do it personally. Why waste
more,
the time?
Is it more in a coaching type role?
Still say there's no way he signs before training camp. Do the same thing you did last year. You let all that hard work
go.
So
what's he doing here?
Well, I think he's probably just,
What happens if he gets hurt out there?
Some passing camp work and
what
stuff.
Sometimes he throws his arm out. But torn labrum. Boom.
Here's a good exercise that we can do. Let's go down the schedule. Let's go down the schedule and figure out which is the game that the Patriots will run up the score enough for him to extend that ridiculous streak that no one cares about.
I'll go with one of the Bills games.
One of the Bills games?
Yeah.
Home against the Jets.
I'll say the game in Buffalo because they always
win. I say opening day at the Jets.
Nah. Home against the Jets, though.
He really tries to run it up against Mangini.
They won't whoop the Jets.
Jets are probably going to be without Justin Miller.
They won't be clicking enough at
that
point.
I agree.
Jets will be without Justin Miller, who'll probably be suspended because that's what happens to Patriots people.
And that's why I go with the Jets, too, is to run it up on Mangini. But I think they'll be clicking by the time they play him the second time, and then they'll be able to do it on the home turf and get him a nice touchdown pass for the 272nd straight season.
So you guys just think the Jets are garbage?
No, I don't think the Jets are garbage. I think the Patriots will try to run it up on them. I think the Patriots are pretty good now.
No, I know.
They had a pretty good offseason.
Some people think they're actually favored to go to the Super Bowl at this point.
Oh, I know, but I'm just thinking the Jets are one of the teams I think that, if you look at, might be one of their more tough games when you look at guys like the teams like the Bills and Cleveland.
I say Belichick never loses to the Jets again.
We'll see.
What other news we got?
Keyshawn retired?
He did?
Did he really?
He took a job with ESPN.
Boy, do I think he made some kind of silly comments in the last week or so about money.
They're not silly if that's what he believes. I mean, if that was the facts, I have no problem with him saying.
I have no problem with him saying, I'm retiring because I would rather retire than take a secondary role. But the demands that he was coming out with, I thought were kind of silly.
But if they're true, I got no problem going public.
Well,
it's better than him wasting people's time and going to a city to visit, and then they go, "You want how much?"
Yeah. How do you think he'll do on ESPN?
I think he'll be fine.
I wonder.
The big question is, where does the filter go? You know, the ex-player filter that always, you know, the good ones, you know, they lose that. The bad ones,
like me,
they don't.
Well, they signed Emmitt though too, right? So they have Emmitt Smith. I mean, how many ex-players are they going to have? Is it just going to be Chris Berman and ex-players all over the place now?
Well, but what's his role? Are they both on the main Sunday shows?
I think Emmitt's on the Sunday show
because they have those other things.
Because he's replacing
Urban. They have a lot of other stuff too. The NFL Live stuff.
That's what I'm wondering. How are they going to split them all?
You know, Monday.
Think about all the guys like Darren Woodson and Eric Allen. And there's a lot of analysts on ESPN.
He might start out at a lower level or, you know, a lesser show.
Well, I would imagine they'd try to get him because he's a pretty outspoken guy and he's pretty gregarious. I mean, he's got a good personality. I think they'll probably try to get him on a prominent spot.
I don't think they're going to dump Emmitt.
Probably Monday.
No offense to like Darren Woodson. I like Darren Woodson a lot too. I think he and Eric Allen, I think they both are very good.
Yeah, what
but
they do.
They don't have that clown factor that seems to, you know, vault you ahead in network TV. You know? So I think the best guys are guys like Charles Barkley in the NBA, who has the clown factor with the personality, but he also adds, you know,
Deion
a lot of
Sanders.
Insight. You know, Deion Sanders, I think, is getting to that, where he's adding. I didn't really like Deion Sanders at CBS.
Oh, I hated him.
But he's kind of getting to the point now when I see him, what little I see him on NFL Network, where he's giving you something as well as the sideshow. So those are the best guys, the ones that can entertain you as well.
I get nervous with too many ex. It seems like it's all ex-players now. I do like some people.
Right.
Like, I know Jaws is an ex-player, but he's an older ex-player. But
Jaws.
He'll break down some film and give you some stuff maybe that you don't know. Where the players, like you said, Paul, sometimes they have too many ties and they won't tell you stuff.
Especially the recently retired.
Yes, the
one.
Recently.
You know that Jaws might be saying something. He's not saying that Tom Brady's great because he has some connection to Tom Brady from his playing days or anything like that.
Plus, they got my other guy that I like that I think did a nice job. I told you of taking the filter off Reese.
Floyd Reese.
Not Mike Reese.
Floyd Reese.
Floyd Reese.
Easy now.
Has done a fine job taking that filter off and being critical at times and being discussing the topic at hand, not being a politician and sort of dancing around when asked about a specific event. So, but they do have a lot of people when you start to think about it.
All
the people they have signed up.
Yeah.
Luckily, they have, you know, five networks and nonstop programming to fill. So I'm sure they'll but the thing I wonder about with those is the egos. When you sign guys, you know, Keyshawn Johnsons and Emmitt Smiths and if they're not on whatever the mark, you know, prime time and those countdown, if they're not on those shows, how do they deal with that? Because those are all guys with pretty big egos now, especially Keyshawn. I don't think he'll be liking it if he's on ESPN News at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning or something.
Yeah, I think they'll have a more prominent role for him than that. But
hey, we'll see. Is this the girl you're talking about now on the NFL Network, Paul?
Yeah.
Not bad now.
So now.
Anyway.
Is this slide something the Boston media just made up? Because I just saw the highlights of the game, and they didn't even show it.
I don't know. No, there's a picture of it in the paper.
Oh, the slide for A-Rod?
Well, why wouldn't ESPN
It was an inconsequential play in the game. Yeah, I mean, it was a 7-2
game. You guys are talking about plunking guys.
If it's, I was going to say, if it's the background behind a brawl today, then they should be showing it.
If I'm a Red Sox affiliate, like if I'm doing like a Red Sox game and I'm showing highlights of the game, it absolutely has. But if I'm ESPN and it's one of 14 games I'm showing highlights of, that might not have made the cut.
All right. Yeah, but it's Red Sox Yankees. Everything should make the cut for that. I'm cutting down the other highlight to one home run and boom, stat box.
It was look, I'm not one of these guys that just says everything that the other team does. That was a blatant cheap shot in my mind. He not only was wide of the bag, but he popped up out of his slide, went about midsection high with a forearm and tried to hurt Pedroia. There's no other way to put it. He tried to injure him.
Could be awkward when they're teammates next year, right?
I think a fine and suspension is in order.
He hasn't seen the. Just complain that he hasn't been able to see the play.
This isn't the NFL. They don't suspend guys for doing things wrong in baseball the way they do in the football.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some
football. And that is not a shot at the NFL, by the way.
Sounded like one.
I'm all for it.
No, Roger Goodell, line one.
No, it was a shot at baseball because the players' union rules baseball.
After Goodell gets done with that guy in Pittsburgh, he's moving on to Paul.
Him and Clinton Portis saying, "What's wrong with a little dog fighting?"
Right? You saw that, right? With the offensive line coach.
Yes.
I liked Florio's. Florio's reasoning behind. I mean, I think that it was wrong that he ever even contemplated not doing it, but his reasoning for doing it ultimately. Just saying the whole thing with the conduct policy, the personal conduct policy, and how Goodell said that non-football players were going to be held to a higher standard.
We don't work for the team, right?
No.
Technically?
Sure, we do.
I don't think we do.
We work for the Kraft Group.
Yeah, we work for something else. We don't fall under Roger Goodell's power, hopefully.
I wouldn't test that one in court, by the way.
This is
well, if I'm in court, it's too late already.
This is a battle he doesn't want to take on.
All right.
Who's sending him free food? Who's sending him free food?
Yeah. Are we ready to get to the emails? Ready to get to the emails?
You're going to actually direct the show into talking football?
Well, I'd like to. If you people are done, I don't know. I know you guys have been ranting about TV for a week and a half straight. I didn't know if you guys wanted to talk about Dancing
about
with the Stars and Sopranos. You wanted to get that out of the way
earlier. Sorry, we watch the shows that millions and millions of other people watch. We don't watch. What were you watching last
night?
You're
a follower.
Venus, Mars, Veronica.
Veronica Mars.
Sorry, I didn't catch that one.
She's cute. I kind of liked it.
She's no cuter than the two girls on Dancing with the
and
Stars.
And also, it was one of 12 shows in HD, so it right away.
Gary, you catch any of that? Don't lie to us.
What's that?
Dancing with the Stars?
Not once ever.
How about Veronica Mars?
Nope.
She's kind of cute. Oh, you really like her. She's like 12.
Maybe I should watch.
I'll probably get in trouble for that remark, too. Raising the bar here at PFW in Progress.
Raising the bar and losing listeners as
Ravi
we speak.
In Indianapolis. If in the old days, I might have made a joke about Italian food, but I won't. I'm just going to read the email. Hey, y'all, a couple of things. I heard Mike Elgin is looking very good at minicamp. I don't know how much that means, but what are his chances of making the team? Also, what free agents are still left on the market besides Chris Brown that the Patriots could target?
Well, it means nothing, because they basically just did drills that Mike Elgin's probably done since he was 12 years old. The only thing you could really tell from that is comparing him to the two other guys just doing drills, and he did the drills the best. Now, as Andy has pointed out, let's see him line up against Vince Wilfork, and if Vince Wilfork doesn't eat him, maybe he's got a shot to stick with the team, but that's a long way to go. Out of the three offensive linemen, I would say right now he's probably the most technically sound of the three just from looking at him, but that doesn't mean a thing.
The three that probably won't make the team?
Well, and I was just going to say,
he's got the best shot.
Even though he looked pretty good in that two-day mini camp, the other two could make the team, and he couldn't.
Right.
We have a long ways to go before we can go.
Although if John Hanna has anything to say about it, Corey Hilliard will not be making the team.
To expand a little bit on what Tom talked about, doing drills since he was 12 years old, you have to take into consideration also that, you know, much like LSU defensive backs have, you know, they come in with a step up because they already know the system, you know, for when, you know, like a guy like Randall Gay. Mike Elgin, who played for Kirk Ferentz, is under the same exact offensive line development program that Belichick implemented way back in his Cleveland days, just like Logan Mankins was in Fresno State. So to say that he's doing the drills, he's doing the same drills that he was doing in college now. So I think that is well within a reasonable assumption to say that he's going to be ahead of the game with those three other the two other guys.
Nick and San Diego.
LSU-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to say that word.
Is that not funny anymore?
It's okay to say that. Wow, I thought we were raising the bar. Can't talk about anything that may or may not offend anyone.
We certainly will not talk about Andy Hart's new Wikipedia page.
You really need to stop.
We got in trouble with Wikipedia.
Will you stop?
What? Ah, Nick in San Diego. Let's hope Tom is hosting, because apparently Jake Steele is too good to read my long email. I've shortened this up, and the questions are all more relevant than the one Jake read last week about Ricky Williams. Jake. I was wondering about Eric Alexander.
Jake Steele.
Right. Just throw it out there. Jake Steele. Do you guys think that his performance in the AFC Championship game hurt either his confidence or Bill's confidence in him?
Well, we can't,
yes.
We can't talk about that.
Who?
There's a Pulse story coming out.
Now, yes, I think it may have hurt his confidence.
Yes,
that's a question.
That's something we're going to try to talk to him at the mini camp there to see what he's taken from that, because a lot of players take that and build upon it, but others, and that kind of goes, he's kind of to a lesser extent, Andy, of the Tony Romo, Rex Grossman thing we're watching this year. How do those two guys handle what happened to them in the postseason? To a lesser extent, Eric Alexander is in that boat. Does he become a better player because of this and learn from it, or does it just totally destroy his confidence? We won't know that until we see him on the field.
I actually think that the experience is going to help him, because, first of all, I don't think that he is destined to be, you know, a staple in the Patriots defense for the next 8 or 10 years. I don't think he's that, has that kind of a pedigree behind him, but I think he's going to actually benefit from the experience and learn from it.
Can I tell a little meaningless story along these lines?
Sure.
Picture.
Step slide?
No. This is baseball.
Oh, sorry.
Hadn't started a game ever at third base. Dartmouth High School, highly ranked baseball team heading into the postseason, facing Brockton, who had a bye the previous week.
Oh, Brockton, tough.
Third baseman got hurt. Andy, why don't you start at third? Couple runners on, two outs, ground ball to third. Let's just say the ball went about 75 feet over first base and ended up in the street.
Yeah. Line run scores.
I never played third base again.
Line run scores.
That could be Eric Alexander. It could kill his confidence. It could kill their confidence in him and say, you know what, he just can't do it. Because, I mean, you saw him in what he eventually needs to do, right? Whether he can do it against the Jets on week one, sooner or later he's going to have to do it against the Colts and the Chargers.
That story would have held more water if you actually told the Rick Ankiel story or the Mark Wohler story. Someone that actually mattered.
I matter. In the frame of PFW in progress, I matter. Especially when you guys made me host today.
Which was a bad decision.
This is my ship. This is my ship right here.
Clearly a bad decision.
It goes where I want to go. Another question from Nick. I was wondering what you guys think about Larry Anam. I love everything he's said so far, and I think he has the athleticism to play in the NFL. But I didn't see any BC games this year, and there is very little info about him on the web. Does he have the skills to make the team, or at least the practice squad?
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I know the life and times of Larry Anam. What I will say is that I know BC plays off receivers quite a bit. So we'll have to see how he does in press coverage man-to-man, because a lot of their games, they play that bend-don't-break style of defense. That's about as far as
I do have a question, and I'm not being critical because I totally echo everything Tom just said. I don't have the answers for Larry Anam. But if you never saw BC play all year, how do you know he has the athleticism to play in the NFL?
You yelling at me?
No, the emailer said I think he has the athleticism to play in the NFL.
Well, because he read somewhere probably that he has NFL athleticism or something.
Well, okay.
You have to rip him.
I'm not ripping him. I'm asking a question. I'm just asking.
Driving away listeners left and right.
I really don't know that much about Larry.
Believe me, you're doing a good job of that.
Yeah.
And one last question.
I'm thinking about leaving myself.
I'm thinking about putting a bullet in my temple.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
Nick saw that Moss's locker is next to Tom Brady's. Who used to have that locker?
Bam Childress.
Is he no longer on the team?
No, they moved him. He's on the other side.
Okay.
For now.
Bam.
Remind me. Remember I said there was one thing that I had to tell you about? That's the thing I had to tell you about. Remind me.
Bam. Moss's locker?
Yeah. It's an off-air story, though.
Bam. I got it. I think I know the same story, and I was just going to tell it on air, but I'll wait. Okay.
No, I would not tell it on air.
Okay, good.
I'm sure the fans are really happy you guys brought that up.
All right, let's tell it on.
Well, let's just say it wasn't a mistake that it was put next to Tom Brady. It was a calculated effort by a person of power.
For a specific reason.
Yes, people like us.
For the media.
Right.
It was done for the media.
That was going to be in there for
it
that
It wasn't
camp.
Done so Moss would be next to Brady. It was done so the media would see the locker next to Brady.
Oh, okay.
See, I
thought... Good on Wednesdays.
That was a good on-air story.
Yeah, well, you know, necessarily...
Now you're going to blame it on me? Paul's over there like, I wasn't going to say it, but anyone...
Calling out the secrets is not necessarily...
No, we didn't say who told us what and how we found out or anything. It's just... We have knowledge, Paul, and it is our duty as reporters to bring that to our listeners.
I think it's Fred Kirsch.
No, but if we can run with that, that's fine. I think it's Jake Steele. Hello, boys and oh, this is Nick again. Why back-to-back emails? You deleted the second one. Sorry, buddy. Ed from Virginia.
Best host in the business.
I was wondering what you guys thought of Oscar Lua. Pete Carroll compared him to Ted Johnson and said he was a heck of a player. Do you think he may be used on some running downs as a rookie if he is healthy? Also, if Bill decides to go with a three-man rotation of Bruschi, Seau, and Alexander on the inside, and if Thomas is your main pass rusher from the outside and Vrabel is put on the other side to set the edge and play the run, that would leave Colvin as just a situational pass rusher. Do you think he would like that? Take that? No.
You mark this down right now. Roosevelt Colvin at least 12 sacks this year. Put it in the books. Probably 14, but I'll go with 12.
You think he's going to have 12 sacks?
I'll go double or nothing on the Teddy Ginn Jr.
What? No, because if I have to give you $100, if you give you $100,
well,
that's a blow.
Let's get reasonable. We'll just say lunches or something like that.
No, $50.
All right.
Double or we'll go $50.
And I'll save you from yourself. 10.
Okay.
Double digits.
So we have if Ted Ginn gets 3 scores, I win. Is that how it is?
Three returns. You
three
win.
Returns, I win. And if Colvin
not scores, returns.
Yeah, returns. And Colvin has to get more than 10 sacks.
Yes.
10's a push.
10's a push.
Agreed. You heard it right here, folks. Tom Casale telling you Roosevelt Colvin at least 12 sacks this year.
I got bigger things to worry about. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have my first bowel movement.
Well, Ed wants to know, are those 10-plus sacks coming as a situational pass rusher or a starter?
Why is he a situational pass rusher?
Well, because in his scenario, Bruschi, Seau, and Alexander are now rotating on the inside.
No, that's not going to happen.
Thomas and Vrabel start outside, and Colvin rotates.
I think that's a possibility, but I think the larger one would be Bruschi and Vrabel starting inside with Thomas and Colvin outside and Seau rotating in.
Yeah.
And giving you the option to have Seau and Bruschi inside with Vrabel outside on occasions. One thing that was kind of speculated, I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on. 5 linebackers on the field at the same time to kind of disguise where the rushers are coming from. I've seen that written in a couple of places. What do you guys think about that? If you add the four starters that they had before Seau plus Seau.
No chance.
Okay, here's my theory.
I don't think there's any chance of that. I don't think that makes any sense, but the person that wrote it, tends to have a pipeline of information.
Let me say this. I tip my hat to Junior Seau. He played much better than any of us thought he would here last year.
But
now he's coming back from an injury. He's another year older. Now we got him on the field in 5 linebacker sets. I think he is what he's going to be this year. A nice reserve linebacker that can come in, take some pressure off Bruschi and Vrabel. But to say he's going to start and do this and do that, now I think we just have our expectations are too high.
I agree. He came in with low expectations last year. Now all of a sudden the expectations are on the other end of the spectrum.
I think it's more kind of like two game plan stuff, just like anything else with Belichick. I think there might be a team that maybe, you might be looking for a different kind of running attack that maybe fits more to Bruschi and Seau inside than Vrabel. You know, I'm not exactly sure what kind of, I can't even give you an example, maybe a zone blocking scheme or a power blocking scheme might favor Vrabel or Seau over one over the other. I don't know, but something like that, and they might say that. I agree with you guys. 5 linebackers. Why would you want 5 linebackers on the field?
You take
linebackers off the field in passing situations. You don't add them.
To add to your point, Paul, they're going to be playing some high powered offenses this year. You look at their schedule. They got some teams that can throw the ball, like Cincinnati, like the Cowboys, like the Giants have weapons. So you're looking at teams that can put points on the board, and to have 5 linebackers on the field, San Diego, the Colts.
The only thing is, I think there's a chance maybe you see that sometimes as a quirky, as you said, game plan thing
where
you bring Ty Warren out and move Adelius Thomas down to defensive end
for
some plays because you think it takes advantage of a matchup.
And here's my point with that, too, that is one of those little pet peeves that I think the three of us have. That could happen where those 5 guys are on the field, but they're not going to be playing linebacker.
Right.
And I think that's where people kind of,
Thomas is going to be all over
the boat.
And the other problem with it is, that's the biggest weakness we've talked about, is in passing situations, your linebackers could be old and slow and leave you wide open.
Exactly.
Now we're trying to get them all on the field at the cost of another safety or defensive back.
Let's say you have like Thomas and Vrabel down as down linemen on a 3rd and long, and now you have Colvin on the edge coming off the coming from the outside. You might actually have 5 linebackers on the field in name, But
right.
Thomas and Vrabel clearly are a defensive lineman right. in this scenario. Right.
Yeah, you're going to see
the one
if you have
the
like Will Fork, like if you say Will Fork and Warren, for example, on a third down, are coming off the field, you might have those guys, you know, as defensive linemen. With you know, obviously Seymour usually stays out there regardless. But
and as you say,
Colvin getting the sack.
And Paul, you just proved my point why I think Colvin's going to get about 12 sacks this year.
Because no one's going to block him?
Exactly. That's my point.
the West Walker, 100 catches.
I think he's going to be one-on-one on the edge all the time because everyone's going to be worried about Thomas and this guy and that guy, and I think Colvin's going to take advantage of that and rack up some sacks, some meaningless sacks like Jarvis Green gets at the end of the game. But they all count, Paul. They all count.
They do, in this little wager, they all count.
They do all count, and I will just say that that's been the case, isn't that? He's been one-on-one for the last 3 years.
This year he breaks out huge year.
He gets one-on-one, gets blocked at the line of scrimmage, and puts a hand up to make a great play because he couldn't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that interception against San Diego in the playoffs, that play meant nothing.
Tom,
defensive MVP.
Oscar
he
Lua.
Is unbelievable the way he... How many times has he said, when was the last time you saw Roosevelt Colvin in coverage?
Right.
Now he points to this great play that he made in San Diego.
That's my point. He's hardly ever in coverage, and when he is, he makes a great play.
Tom, the
you are an FROD fraud.
Ed started out with his question about Oscar Lua. I know you're the resident expert on Oscar Lua. What
That's
do you
right.
think?
I'm not expecting anything from Oscar Lua this
Has
year.
Has to have a he's whale a, of a camp.
He's
no?
a developmental guy. We're just hoping Oscar Lua can make the team first. Let's get there, and then we'll talk
about
him.
How about stick in New England first, not even make the team?
Maybe That's what I'm saying. He would have to have, in my opinion, a really, really great training camp just
we
to
got,
make it.
We got Eric Alexander starting, right? And most of these guys got Eric Alexander
this guy, he
starting.
Got him in the rotation.
Well,
yeah,
Pete Carroll also compared Lua's style to Ted Johnson.
He didn't compare him to Ted Johnson.
There's a difference there.
And by the way, at the end of Ted Johnson's
Can you
career,
believe it? It's football time.
All the talk was how he was a dying breed of player who, you know, a two down run stuffing linebacker who the league has sort of gone away from. So it'll be interesting to see if Lua can play that style and carve a role out.
If Lua sticks with the team in this system, perhaps a couple years down the road, maybe he can be something. He obviously had talent. He was at USC. He was the leading tackler 2 years ago. But it all depends on what kind of training camp he has, how healthy he is, and how fast he is, more than that 2-3 yard space.
We should have knocked his lights out.
I think at his position, with his draft status,
squad is the best you
his
can
I just think it's hard to make such an impact in training camp that they say, we can't live without Oscar Lua, who may not be great on special teams, can't play on passing downs, and he's a two-down linebacker. I just think it's virtually impossible for him to do enough to earn a role on this team this year the way he plays.
And I think the key, Andy, is the one that you said at the beginning about special teams, because you would think as an inside guy, strictly an inside linebacker, who's had some injury problems, by the way, I'm not so sure that his talents necessarily translate to great teams.
Right.
It's not like a young Pierre Woods or Corey Mays maybe have a little bit more athleticism than it sounds like Lua has.
So what linebackers make the team? How many do they carry?
They usually have nine or ten.
So you have Colvin, Thomas, Vrabel, Bruschi,
Sayow.
Those five are guaranteed.
Alexander,
Woods, Mays. You got to say Woods and Mays have an edge over those.
That's
those
eight right there. That means Rodgers and Lua would be fighting for that last spot.
Well, conceivably they both could make it. I'm not trying to
we're going by history here. If they usually keep nine, then it would be whatever.
Don't forget Larry Chad. Izzo.
Izzo makes it.
There's nine.
Chad Brown rumors persisting out there.
But
strange thing. Did you see that now today? Now his agent saying that doesn't know where that came from, and that has
not the rumors, but that the deal's not done.
Well,
there were rumors that the deal was done.
He said didn't know where that came from, and then all of a sudden, when pressed on if there were any contact between the Patriots, he wouldn't say anything.
Right. I think he basically admitted there's been contact.
I say he doesn't even make the team.
I don't see how he could.
My lasting memory of him is getting run over with both his feet up in the air like I've never seen on a football field, and Fred Kirsch laughing at him. And if the host of this show laughs at you in a Patriots uniform,
you're falling pretty far.
Yeah. Your career is really at the end.
It was against Denver, and Fred's a little partial to Denver.
That's true, but I don't see what he brings to the table at this point.
No, I'd rather keep one of those younger guys.
Right,
like
I'd
Justin
rather
Rogers
right, take a chance on a guy who's got a little athleticism, can play special teams. Chad Brown, I mean, we've been down that path and didn't really play out very well.
That's the key thing, too. It's not like Sayow, where he played pretty well and you bring him back. Chad Brown played terrible.
Terrible.
So why would you want him back?
He's older now. I mean, no reason. James from Roanoke Rapids checking in.
What's up, James?
I know it's been a long time. Apparently,
yeah,
it has been a long time.
What's up, James?
But I was having trouble listening to the show on both my computers, and it took a while. Nice job, Gary.
Good job. Thanks,
Gary. Just,
Ferreira.
You should just left it as, I was having trouble listening to the show, period.
Oh, no. It's his fault. Sorry. It's still not that great, but should improve once we finally get DSL out here.
Now, when he says it's still not that great, is he talking about the show or the internet connection?
I'm saying his internet. I think he has dial-up. Wow, you gotta get past dial-up.
Dial-up? What do you mean?
He's got dial-up?
He says it'll improve when he gets DSL, so I'm guessing
Who's
he's
this?
On dial-up.
James, please do me a favor. Get DSL. It's like $7 more a month. It'll change your life completely.
But
please do it.
He might not have it yet, though. You know, that's slow to go and...
Access to it. I don't think he has Roanoke
Rapids.
Oh, there's still places where you can't even get that.
You up on the travel habits of Roanoke Rapids, Virginia?
I'm assuming it's out in the middle of nowhere.
That's where Mike Vick and everybody comes from.
SKYPE.
Now,
North
if the
Carolina.
Doc doesn't know, what's the name of that area?
This is North Carolina.
Tidewater?
This is North Carolina.
Oh,
did I say Virginia?
Yeah, you said Virginia.
Oh, and I meant North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
But you know what? He used to live in Virginia, and I think he moved to North Carolina.
Oh, I thought it was
Virginia.
So
he might be
Virginia.
Near the ocean
I think
there.
I said Roanoke Rapids,
that's,
Virginia, too.
That's where my
son lives. But he can't live in both. Did he live in Roanoke Rapids when he was in Virginia?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I think I just always call it Virginia. When,
all right,
when
we're making a mockery
of
this. I'm not sure anyone has said anything about these yet since I've missed so many
weeks
of the show.
Gary's got that dumbfounded look on his face.
He always has that look on his face.
At least I can see him this week.
See, he looks like Romeo Crennel now.
He does.
That big red
windbreaker. I'm waiting for the Al Groh shovel to break out.
Can you give us the signal? We don't know the defense. Can you give us the defense, the signal?
He's
wow, the middle
he's
finger.
He's supposed to go like this.
What's that, blitz?
Blitz up the middle, okay. Three things we can consider as we analyze what could be one of the best teams the Patriots have ever fielded. With the additions of the receiving core, I feel that we finally find out who is better quarterback, Brady or Manning.
They're both great.
Like Manning has had in the past, Brady finally has a very good group of receivers to throw to and a good running game to keep the defense honest, and his stats should improve accordingly. We already talked about this. It's not fair to compare new talent. Even if you believe the talent is the same as Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, they've been playing together for years. Especially Harrison
and
Manning. They have the same brain.
Andy, as you always say, all you have to do is sit up in the press box and watch those guys practice before the game. There's really nothing like it. They, as you said perfectly, they share the same brain.
Right.
Brady, Moss, and Stallworth won't have that ever because they won't be here long enough.
I think that's all true, and I think that's a point on Brady's side. I think a point on the other side is, how much better is Tom Brady's stats going to get? How many more times are they going to throw the ball? How many more percentage completions is he going to have?
Yeah, the guy's pretty good now.
The guy's pretty good now.
Not according to some.
I just don't
see him.
He took
a lot of criticism around here last year early in the season.
No, I know that.
Well, apparently some other people thought the receiving core wasn't quite up to snuff because they went out and signed eight of them this offseason.
You know, can I just tell you, that might be one of my things that this show, the way we talked about it last year, I'm most proud of. Because we stuck by that for 16 games, even as guys like Jabari Gaffney. I said the show.
Oh, I know. I think the show deserves a horn.
But, I mean, Jabari Gaffney is catching 100 yards, three consecutive games or two consecutive games in the playoffs. And, you know, people are like, see, I told you. I didn't think there was anything, you know, that I saw that was any different.
No.
Just the quarterback is so good. And I think that you got the answer as to what the organization felt about that receiving core, I think, in the offseason.
Two, now that the Patriots have a formidable? I think he means formidable, but it says formidable passing game.
Okay, Fred.
Opposing defenses will not be able to cheat up at the line to help stop the running game. Maroney should have some big games, and when they are able to stop him, Brady will pick them apart with a passing game. Pick your poison.
Pick a winner.
1,400. Pick a winner.
1,400.
If he stays healthy.
1,400 yards.
Maroney, if he stays healthy.
Career high sacks for Colvin.
We got to get the whiteboard out. I want in again.
You guys, if he plays 16 games and is healthy, are you going to be surprised if he's 1,380, 1,400 yards? See, I don't think that's a phenomenal season. I think it's an average season
on
a running back.
Let me do some research on that.
AKA last year, we had what, about
can we take
six,
a, can we take
six
a
backs
break?
Over 1,500 yards last year?
Can we take a break?
Can I finish his email first?
Sure. Okay.
I don't like to cut emails in
today,
half.
Junior.
With these bold moves to vastly improve the team, does anyone think that this may be a move by Belichick to get a fourth or maybe fifth Super Bowl under his belt before he possibly retires in a couple seasons?
I don't think he's going to retire in a couple seasons.
I think
he's going to coach till he's 90.
I'm starting to think that, too. I was firmly in the camp that he wasn't in this for, you know, the long haul because of that thing that he said a long time ago about Marv Levy, and now I'm starting to think the other way. I just think this is all the guy does.
Yeah.
This is all he cares about, is breaking down film, generating game plans, and finding a way to attack an opponent's weakness. This is what the guy lives for, and this is what he does probably better than anybody. I just don't see him
now,
leaving.
Whether it's here
or yeah, now
that all that's all money, and that, they got to figure that stuff out.
That's a personal thing right. that none of us would have any idea about because no one could possibly know.
I'm going to paraphrase a little bit to summarize the last couple paragraphs. James isn't willing to go for the undefeated season talk. He's just happy with whatever record they have, hoping that it gives them home field advantage in the playoffs, a healthy team, and reading this Fred Kirsch style, some loop-sided revenge wins over the Colts, Dolphins, Jets, and Chargers.
You really are a
buffoon. I feel this may be the Patriots' best chance to reestablish the dominance over those teams and the rest of the AFC. Have a great day.
Thanks, James.
Such an idiot.
Gosh. All right. PFW in progress Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back in a minute.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2! Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Jamarcus Russell was the first pick. Detroit takes another wide receiver, and the Dolphins don't take Brady Quinn. If you're having trouble figuring out the NFL draft, PFW's Tom Casale has the answers.
I think both guys at 24 would be stealing. And they're not falling like rocks. That's all internet crap. There's no way Branch is going to be there at 24. None.
With the 33rd pick in the NFL draft, the Cardinals select Alan Branch, defensive tackle, Michigan.
Well, he was right about Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney, so let's talk running backs.
Round 3, Chris Henry, the running back of Arizona.
Listen, that we should talk about him. This guy stunk in college. He's an upright runner. Now all of a sudden he's got a nice physique. He goes and runs a fast 40, and everyone's thinking he's going to go in round three. Forget about it. Round five at the earliest.
With their first selection in the second round, the Tennessee Titans select running back Chris Henry from Arizona.
So if your mock draft has scribbles all over it and you're convinced the guy in Miami misheard Quinn and wrote Ginn, you're not alone. And don't worry, there's always next year, and Tom Casale will be there to break it down.
At 15, I think that's where you make the move, because those teams should all be interested in
him. So if he's there at 15, you trade for him?
You got it.
What's the trade?
I don't know how to work out trades. I'm a scout. I'm not Pioli. His job is to take care of that kind of thing.
PFW in progress.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
I agree wholeheartedly. Tom Casale does not understand football, but still, we have him here each and every Wednesday to give us his views on the game. And if you missed the first
Somebody's
half hour,
the turkey sub.
His view this week is Roosevelt Colvin will be having a career year this fall
sacks.
For the Patriots.
12 possibly
sacks,
14.
Pro Bowl, possibly 14, something Colvin has never done with a good hip, bad hip, or anything. But apparently Tom believes Adalys Thomas is going to make Roosevelt Colvin a Pro Bowler.
Yes.
Evidently, Colvin and Tom have had,
I got to tell you, I'm guessing he doesn't tip very well.
Who, Colvin?
It's a little meeting.
Now
he's
that
as
I
cheap as cut they come.
I can guarantee you.
I'm not a doctor.
If my fiance ever waits on Colvin, the tip will be so bad, but I will not be complaining about that because I'm expecting it from Roosevelt.
I actually
Colvin.
Think he'd say, now if I go and pick my food up, is it cheaper if you don't bring it to me?
If I just order it with you, but I go and get it.
Right, I'll get it.
This is a multi-billionaire who believes his children should have one
right.
present at Christmas time.
And who did the math to tell me how much money he saves by doing his own lawn.
You gotta love the guy, though.
You
sometimes
do.
Sometimes when he when
sometimes he can
it.
Get a little grating. Like Paul Perillo,
but just stuff like that, where he does his own lawn and tells you how much money he's saving.
Why do you always have
my,
to bring
my
it back
personal
to the
favorite
shop?
Is watching him do UPS orders in the locker
yes.
room, weigh something on the scale that's there for players,
right.
weighing packages so that he can put the weight on them to ship.
But
them.
Even when he's not, he's always got some business going on. Even if it's not the UPS, he's got some box.
He's
going to
make it because he's got the personality. He's a little bit of a con artist, I think. Has a business
be a former
background.
Pro Bowler.
Right. No. I don't think that'll be accurate, but we'll see. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's part of what people think Adalys Thomas is great at. His versatility helps everybody else get used in ways that benefit them. So we'll see. I
was looking for a guy who could possibly be the unsung hero of this defense, and I think it's going to be Colvin.
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to watch because I used to think that, and then I stopped thinking it when it never came to fruition.
Well, you know what's going to happen. Week six, I'm going to be going, what a bum. What a bum.
Could happen. Anyway, back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. If you want to give us a call, and this is the number to talk to us, not order food. If you need that number, you can contact Gary via email, and he'll line you up for next week. We are still taking proposals for next week's lunch.
That's the first contribution you've had to this show at 45 minutes in.
But if you would like to talk to us, it's 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Before I get back to the emails, I just want to say, we're not going to talk about vacuum cleaners or TV shows, but I did get a brand new Cub Cadet lawnmower yesterday that I'm very excited to use later
this
week.
We're open to talk about TV shows, by the way. And all the shows just recently ended. Lost's finale is tonight. You were very disappointed with the 24 finale the other night.
24 sucked. Worst show
so we,
ever.
So we let the email... If the Gary liked
it. I was throwing stuff at the TV during The Sopranos.
Yeah, Tom hated The Sopranos. I didn't love it, but didn't hate it the way Tom did. But we're certainly open to emails about the TV shows.
Apparently Gary likes this topic because he's got all the little sound bites ready.
Gary, you see Sopranos? Do you think it was too much of the analyzing and the
this
guy going to
I would
to
agree
this,
with that. That there was too
this
much.
Shrink, this
yeah,
shrink.
Yeah, I just wanted AJ to drown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I wish Tony didn't come, but, what are you going to do? But I thought that was a compelling scene to watch.
After 7 years, AJ is now the center of the show
and,
with three left. I don't
and that was a classic Tony beatdown that he gave that guy Coco.
That was a great part.
I also found out that there's a guy that guy.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
I forget his name, but his last name in real life is Perillo.
I saw it.
Joey Perillo.
Did I mention that to you before?
No, I mentioned it to you last week.
Yeah, I've seen.
That's the first time I saw that guy on. It was last week.
You ready to raise the bar again? Get back to some legit football talk.
Sure.
Okay. Back to the emails. Jay.
I'm just happy we didn't have to talk about his lawnmower.
Well, I haven't mowed a full lawn yet. Last night it was just doing donuts.
The Cub Cadet when he was doing donuts in his yard.
Thing flies. I can't wait. Yeah, it looks like
but that's okay. We can talk about that for the next hour and 15.
Looks like crop circles in my front lawn right now.
If you want to talk about something, the people out there should go to Andy Hart's new Wikipedia page.
It is a good, good time. It's very entertaining. Jay in the UK. Hey, guys, just a couple of questions. Is there any big-name guys that you know of that are eligible for the Hall of Fame this year, and when do you think, if ever, Andre Tippett will get his much-deserved calling?
Well, the big boys are starting to come up, right?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, Rice will be up soon. Yeah. Emmett will be up soon.
I know there's tough classes coming. I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, you got to think Tip's got a shot now after being a finalist.
I think eventually he gets in.
Wasn't
I'm just not sure
wasn't
when.
The thinking before this year's class that this is his best chance because next year's class has some surefire
guys?
I thought that was the thinking.
There was some talk of that, I think, but basically the bottom line is making it to the top 10, I think everyone seems to say eventually he's going to get in now. And he has a long time. He has another, whatever we figured it out was, 12 years left or 13 years. So you got to figure at some point, even if there's, you know, at some point he's going to be one of the bigger names again and he'll have made the finals. He'll be more on the radar. I think he makes it eventually. I don't know that it'll be anytime soon. I don't know what the exact list is for this year, but sooner or later he's going to get it.
This is Andre Tippett. That's not what we're looking for.
And as we heard right here last week, John Hanna certainly believes he deserves it. Always thought he was better than Taylor, more of a quote-unquote football player, more physical, and the whole package that he brought to the table.
Now, I missed Hanna last week, but I guess he was excellent with you guys, huh?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Good stuff.
Tremendous. He can replace you anytime.
He's so outspoken, though. He is truly one of those. You know, we were talking about earlier the filter thing. No filter there.
No.
He had it
on a little bit.
He speaks his mind.
He was trying to be very good, you could tell. Even talking about Corey Hilliard, didn't say his name and didn't really say throw up or say, he said something.
Well,
and Gary played that and he goes, yeah, that.
Well, he was a little upset with, I guess,
Boston
some of his
Herald.
Comments that were, how it was portrayed in a Herald story. So I can understand him being on, maybe.
He was
his
he
best
was very
behavior.
Good, and I think we should effort to maybe get him back a couple times.
Well, he'll be
season.
Here once a month.
So we'll bring him down.
Forward,
maybe.
So hopefully we'll be able to get him once in a while.
But more importantly, Tom, when we're on the topic of Andre Tippett, I learned a little thing about Tippett. First of all, he wore 99 in college, which I found interesting. And second, do you know why he wore number 56?
Because he idolized Lawrence Taylor.
No, he idolized somebody that you should know.
Oh, Hollywood Henderson.
Right. That's why he wore it.
Kind of came into the league.
Well, that's
around the same time as LT, so.
No, I know. Yeah, that was a joke.
Andre goes, I always had Tippett, Taylor, just above me on the list.
One of the.
Yeah, it was LT.
And then me.
Me.
One of the most remarkable things you'll see if you ever get a chance to see it is Hollywood Henderson returning a kickoff 98 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that's pretty impressive for a linebacker in the NFL.
Did he take time out to do a line?
Probably did it after on the sideline.
Just a
little bit more impressive if he did it during the run.
An addendum to the story. A little birdie told me he was a little disappointed later in life when he met Hollywood Henderson, and I guess he wasn't very nice to him.
That so. I can definitely see.
That kind of stinks. You pick your number and you build a career on a number based on a guy, and then the guy's a total jerk to you. That would stink.
A lot of people didn't like Hollywood.
I hope you like if you ever met Bo.
I'd have to clean out a whole closet
and
full
say,
of Bo memorabilia.
Get out of my face.
You're a bad guy. Terrible human being. Moving on with Jay. Also, with the new receiving corps revamped, I've heard different people say Brady has a good deep ball, and then I've heard otherwise. As people who see him every week in and week out, what do you think? I want an unbiased answer, though, so if I hear Fred say, best deep ball in the league, book it, kick him for me. Well, Fred's not here, so you won't hear that.
That's not his strength.
Deep ball?
Yeah. It's not his strength. But if you have a guy like Randy Moss and Stallworth, guys who can go up and get it, I don't think it becomes really a weakness either.
Stopped being Dante Culpepper's strength when Randy Moss left.
You know, and that's an interesting point. Last year, just off the top of my head, I can think of a couple that he just missed on. One was early in the year to Troy Brown, where it was like just past his outstretched hands, a little bit overthrown. But a guy with a little bit more speed than Troy Brown probably runs under it.
Right.
There was one to Chad Jackson that I thought was perfectly thrown that Jackson did little.
That was Chad Jackson's fault.
Yeah, little to nothing to catch the ball. So I think Tom's point is with guys like Moss and Stallworth, I think, A, you're going to get a guy that maybe is able to fight for the ball like Moss has done throughout his career, and B, can maybe outrun a
Turn
little
it
bit
up
of a
gear.
Yeah.
We saw Bethel Johnson do it.
Yeah.
There was a couple balls he threw to Bethel Johnson where you said, oh, that's overthrown.
That's way overthrown.
Right up until the point he caught the ball. Chad Jackson didn't do that. He's supposed to be able to. He was supposed to have that elite 4-3 speed, but he didn't do it. I think these guys have more of a knack, as they've shown in their career, to go get it.
And the combination, I think that whole throwing the deep ball thing's overrated, but if you look at a couple guys who are known for their good deep ball throwing is Peyton Manning and Carson Palmer, and they kind of do a combination of what you just said. They have the great arm strength, and they throw it out there so far that those guys like Johnson and
talented
and Wayne
receivers
run
go
under
get it.
It.
Right.
So I also think that throwing the deep ball itself is not overly difficult. I think it's much harder to throw deep outs than it is to throw a nine route.
Right.
You know, and we see
with the football lingo, nine route.
That's the only one I know. I'll be honest with you. It's the only one on the whole tree I know is nine is the go route. But, that's not true because that Randy Moss story, he was supposed to run a six when he wouldn't go over the infield dirt. So I know the six too. 69. Anyway. Oh, jeez.
I don't think you'll see Brady missing on too many.
Do you remember Jeff Blake?
Blake?
Jeff Blake was regarded as throwing the best deep ball. He couldn't play.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it's,
he could throw up a rainbow to Carl Pickens, but if you needed third and eight,
he couldn't
complete it.
And that's where I think Brady excels.
Okay, let's see. Moving on with Jay. He's got more here. Also, after rewatching the old Patriots DVDs of the Super Bowl seasons, they're not really that old. He makes it sound like
the good old days.
I noticed Brady threw deep so much more often that I'm almost shocked to see it nowadays. You guys might say it's a lack of faith in receivers, but he wasn't exactly throwing to Jerry Rice out there. What happened to the Brady that threw accurate deep balls to David Patton, Troy Brown, and even Bethel Johnson?
They turned into Rashe Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, and Chad Jackson.
Well said, Paul. Keep up. Well, if I'm going to be Fred again. Geep up the good work, and congratulations to all of you for all your achievements.
Geep. Wait, I think he means keep. That's what he does.
That's exactly what he would do.
Congratulations to all of you for all your achievements over the last few months with weddings, babies, young fiancés, and such. Yeah, that's true.
I had the young fiancé.
Easy. You do?
Yeah, she's over the hill.
I agree. Overrated. I don't like her anymore.
Why is she mad at Andy?
No,
Andy's mad at her.
Why is Andy mad at her?
She was surprised that Andy is stronger than I am. And then
how did this come about?
Because we were talking about him fighting Layla Ali again. And I said Layla Ali would kill him.
Married? God help me.
Did you see her, by the way, when she got knocked out last night? She was the first one to get knocked out. She was pissed.
She was.
And she said so. I'm pissed. On national TV, live TV.
So she was surprised that Andy was so strong because she said when he stands next to me, he looks like he's a midget.
That's because I didn't weigh 255 pounds last year.
Yeah, but I'm bigger.
What's wrong with him?
I admitted to her that you were stronger than me. What do you want?
I know.
Strong like bull.
Then he spent 5 minutes excuses.
15. That I'm old. I had shoulder surgery. I could outlift him with my legs.
Seven years ago.
Andy's on steroids. That's what it basically got down to. I stopped talking, and then 10 seconds later, I'm like, and I'm pretty sure he's on steroids.
Russell Doucette. Subject, off-seasoning. Hey, guys. Great interview with John Hanna. The show is so good when Paul is not there.
Oh, Early.
Doesn't say that. I added that in.
I know he's telling Hanna.
I knew Early wouldn't
Tom,
rip me
as
like
a
that.
Fellow brother man and one who got screwed big in divorce, don't say I do.
That's the best advice I've gotten so far.
Oh, why am I getting married? God help me.
At very least, you'll know your friends really are if one stands up and objects to the marriage. Oh. Anybody going to do that?
I don't have any friends coming to the wedding. All my friends and family decided not to come.
Boring.
Wow, what a week.
But I can see
my associates.
Yeah, my associates will be there.
But I can see there's no talking you out of this now, so remember who told you so. I have to admit to be getting more excited at the potential offense the Patriots will have this year. The defense I still have a couple questions on, but nothing all that major. Is it just my cynical nature, or are any of you feeling Samuel is all but out the door? I know the Patriots tend to keep negotiations quiet, but I think there would be some sort of leak as to movement in his contract situation. It's probably the lack of info, but it seems they're not that interested in locking him up long term. Of course, I'd rather have the space down the road to re-sign Warren and Wilfork if I had the choice. Have a great week. Love the show. Russell, roasting in the desert of Palm Springs, a long way from the oceanic OC.
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
I don't think
he's all
out the door. That Samuel is out the door. I think if I had to say, I would go the opposite, that he's probably all but certain to be back and in the starting lineup on opening day. I just, you know, Andy, you've made the point all along. It's just, it's a lot of money that he'd be passing up. And Deion Branch, you know, we were talking about, you know, a million. We're talking about 8 million.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference there. That's a lot of money to turn your back on.
It would take big cojones.
You come back, you play, you suck it up, and you hopefully get yourself in a position where you can be a free agent next year. And I don't really think there's a whole lot of other ways to look at it from a
lucrative. So when do we see him?
He'll probably skip a mini camp or something.
Do we see him to start training camp?
I don't know. I'd have to, if I have to venture a guess, I say no. Kind of like Seymour a couple years ago.
A couple weeks in?
Yeah, maybe early in camp.
10 days in,
he
whatever.
Comes in, they do something. Maybe they give him a little something to make him happy.
You feel the same over there, Mr. Casale?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be here for the beginning of training camp, but at some point he'll show up.
I'm going to be very surprised if he's not there come
opening day in New York. He's on the field.
It'll be one of those things where the media gets there every day saying, is 22 there? Do you see 22?
Right.
And it'll be one of those bad jokes that goes for a week or two, and then we'll finally see him, and the jokes will stop.
And then people will write the stories at 1:17 p.m. Yes. Asante Samuel donned his helmet for the first time.
Some people.
Summer.
Well, before or after the whistle blew three times.
I thought we were raising the bar here.
I'm sorry. You're right.
You're well below the bar on that one.
You're right.
Jeez. Hello, this is from Alexander, subject Dungy Sucks. Hello, Mr. Casale. Gilligan. That's not how you spell Gilligan, is it?
It's got an I.
G-U-I-L-L-I-G-A-N?
No.
Gilligan. Super fan and new porn star Jake Steele. Peter King on his Monday Morning QB reported that Peyton Manning persuaded two fellow teammates to report to a voluntary workout they planned to skip.
I read that.
King's conclusion was that Manning's desire to win was intact after the Super Bowl, but what does that tell you about Tony Dungy? Take care.
Tells you nothing about Tony Dungy.
I don't understand.
What does Tony Dungy have to do with it?
That they don't fear him and they weren't going to show up or something. I mean, I don't know if that's where he's going.
Happens on every team. But, so,
you have to yell at me.
Well, all right. Well, just something we were just talking about. Richard Seymour didn't come to minicamp a couple years ago. What does that say about Bill Belichick? Nothing. It says Richard Seymour didn't want to come to minicamp. What do you think?
Sure.
Tom?
Plus, Richard Seymour's not here now.
Yeah, I don't understand the big deal. I don't really understand what the email is getting at.
That so he's a softy pushover that they're taking advantage
they
of.
Didn't, they weren't going
to
come
to swoop in and save the Dungy day.
I just
he's
think
always
it's
been
one
a
of those
pushover, and he's been to three championship games,
right.
And he's got a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah,
so
and one of those three guys, by the way, didn't come even when Manning.
Who were they?
They didn't say.
He's a good coach.
And, yeah, for the record, have you seen that reports have finally come full circle, and Pete Prisco was right when he said that Richard Seymour planned to not take part in the offseason program, and then he showed up for the beginning of it, and everybody said, screw Pete Prisco, you're wrong.
He was here for like 2 days.
Well, Richard Seymour has basically not taken part in the offseason program. So take that for what you may.
He was right.
Yeah, you got to.
Now, who reported that he hasn't? Was it the same people who were reporting that he was going to?
I don't know. I read a lot of things, and I don't know.
And if you're saying, you know, Pete Prisco was wrong, and then he's not, and Seymour's not here, those same people should be reporting it.
You might be saying that. Might be an agenda involved.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Andy? Raising the bar, boys.
Thank you.
Louis Nova checking in. Hello to the four members of the A-team, Paul, Tom, Andy, and Gary. Clear attempt to suck up there. It's just embarrassing.
No, it's a shot at Jake Steele.
He's not even on the show anymore.
He isn't.
He comes to like one out of every three. I mean, he's never here. He's
I don't
you.
Even consider him part of like PFW anymore.
He's like me. I missed a show.
No, I meant with regular work days.
I'm sorry, who was here yesterday?
You for 20 minutes.
You weren't here at all.
I took a vacation day.
Well, I had a radio show to do in the afternoon.
If the Patriots trade...
You're making my point.
Thank you very much.
How do you get to that where you have 60 days vacation?
I don't. I just use them wisely.
All right. Every week?
If the Patriots trade for Randy Moss, the whole media... Well, first of all, I'm not the most blatant example. There's people that have worked for this company for like 3 weeks, and they're taking 10 months of vacation
that
every year.
That is true.
Now we need to raise the bar there.
Raise the bar, sorry. If the Patriots trade for Randy Moss, the whole media exclaim they're selling their soul to the devil. But when Brett Favre demands the exact same trade, doesn't get it, and starts to bitch about it and threatens to skip part of training camp, nobody says a darn thing, and all we hear is how great he is.
No one says a thing.
He's been ripped up and down everywhere.
Killed, and rightly so, I might add.
Right.
But he's been killed for this with his laissez-faire attitude the last couple of years. I'm going to play. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to do anything in the off season.
I got to plan my daughter's birthday party. I won't be there.
I'm not going to minicamp. Then he's been really he's been roundly criticized both in the national media and then what little that you would talk about Green Bay locally.
But I think where he's talking about and where you don't see that is ESPN. Well, ESPN does not touch Brett.
That
Favre
might be so, but
reason.
Give me an ESPN guy that. Lambasted the Patriots for
you know,
trading.
I don't watch ESPN anymore, so
well,
I have no idea.
Well, did Chris Berman come out and rip Bill Belichick for trading for Randy Moss? Because I would highly doubt that.
I'm saying he would never rip Bill Belichick for
anything. But I'm saying my guess is there was a couple guys, and fans or you guys, if you've seen it, can back me up. There might have been one or two guys on ESPN that were saying, well, I don't understand why the Patriots are doing this. It's not really in their character. Where none of those people on ESPN, for some reason, will say a negative thing about Brett Favre. It's like, he owns ESPN. I don't really understand
it. My point, I think, is that ESPN doesn't really criticize. And
no, they don't.
I haven't seen anybody in ESPN really, you know, I'm not saying that not one person, but I haven't seen a huge presence on ESPN questioning whether or not Bill Belichick should have made this trade for Randy Moss. Now, I've seen the occasional story, you know, Michael Silver for SI.com wrote a pretty damaging piece. That guy whose name I can never pronounce, Jeffrey.
Jahidi,
yeah. That guy. He wrote something on ESPN.com. He's actually an SI guy. I was like his first thing for ESPN.com. He just moved over there. But I haven't like seen, you know, the Mark Schlereth. You know those guys? Yeah. See you, Tom. I haven't seen those guys that generally are talking to the Mark Schlereth or the Ron Jaworskis, Chris Berman, John. I haven't seen those guys really openly. Maybe I've missed it. Maybe that they've been out there, but I haven't seen a whole lot of it, the criticism of the Moss trade.
Gary Abrams, passing camp. I was wondering if you guys had any access to the passing camp going on this week. I haven't seen any reports in the media so far, but you being the in-house, working for the company Cracker Jack PFW staff, I was hoping you might have seen some of the happenings around the stadium. Well, earlier, Gary reported that Vinny Testaverde is indeed here on his way out of practice.
As the Cracker Jack staff, just before we came down here, we were talking about how we may have access on Friday, but we have a half day on Friday, which in return got three. I'm not going.
Which evidently led to that I was the only one that would be going if it was in the afternoon.
Hardest working man in sports journalism over there. Like, for instance, are Brady and Moss chatting at their adjacent lockers, Paul?
I have no idea. We haven't been in the locker room.
Has Testaverde been out there throwing the ball or just hanging out, Gary?
According to Gary Gradecki, yes.
Throwing or just hanging out, Gary?
There is word that we're supposed to be getting access late this week. So we can probably answer these questions more definitively next week.
Maybe. Gary, do you have any answers you'd like to share with our listeners? Aside from three of hearts to four of hearts?
I'm sorry, Gary. I tried to get him to move on. He evidently
I'm moving on. Has Castle been working with the new guys, or has he been allotted to Caldwell and Gaffney?
He'll just keep asking all the questions that we can't answer.
Is Troy Brown present? Is Gutierrez? Oh, who cares about him? Anyway, good job. We brought actually nothing to the table on that one. Probably could have just skipped it, huh? Saved us a little bit of embarrassment. Hey, guys, love the show. This is from Ross Hawker. A couple questions for you. What are you looking at me for? What?
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I found that name very funny. It actually jumped into my for the Fockers. And I have nipples. Can you milk me, Fokker? And Ross Hawker. It rhymes, so I found it funny. Sorry, I have a little fun
Such
with sports.
Such an idiot.
Couple questions. I heard another sports talk show recently talking about the third quarterback rule and how it would affect a team signing a certain player. What is the rule, and why? And is it why the Pats only have two quarterbacks on the roster? Paul?
Well, the rule would have absolutely nothing to do with signing another guy, in my opinion. The rule for the third quarterback is you can name before a game. You have 53 members of your active roster. Only 45 of them are active on game day. You have 8 inactives. One of those can be an emergency quarterback. If you do that, then that means that quarterback can only come into the game in the fourth quarter, or if he comes in earlier than that, the first two quarterbacks cannot return. So if you lose your first two quarterbacks in the first quarter, the third guy can come in, but you can never put the first or second back in the game. So that's the rule. He would only be able to play in the fourth quarter unless it's an emergency situation. But I don't see where that would affect your ability to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. Do you think, Andy, can you think of any reason why that would preclude you from having three on the roster? I mean, most teams have three on the roster. We're starting to see a little bit of a trend where more and more teams are trying to roll the dice and get away with two. Last year there was about, I'd say, somewhere between 6 and 10 teams mm-hmm. that opened the season with only two on the roster. Indy's done it for a while. Denver's done it in the past. The Patriots did it last year. I personally think that's the way to go. I think that two is all you need unless you get a guy injured. And then you just bring a third one in. Now, I would think that you're probably safer having two on your active roster and a young guy on the practice squad. The Patriots didn't choose to do that last year.
But or an old guy sitting at home by the phone.
Yeah, they went the opposite route and had a guy collecting Social Security on the standby.
And why do sports writers always try to draw parallels with other sports in their stories? I've attached part of a John Clayton article from Draft Weekend that is one that sticks out in my mind. I can see what he's saying, but the only person that is going to read that story is a hardcore football fan. I just don't think a baseball reference is going to help him understand the trade. Play-by-play guys do it all the time. Basketball announcers talk about home runs or touchdowns or fourth and goal situations. It just doesn't seem to fit, so why do it? And Clayton said, to Davis, the West Coast offense is to football what small ball is to baseball.
I think that's a pretty accurate comparison.
But who cares? The guy's point is he's a football fan. He's reading a football story. He doesn't want baseball, you know,
but you don't,
seeping into it.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Are you a football fan?
I could see why.
Tom, do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Are you a football fan?
Yep.
But if I'm a hardcore football fan, I could see the guy's point. I'm not paying to read about baseball. I want to read about football.
Okay.
Give me football comparisons. Anyway, I saw one up here that I wanted to get to.
Talk about being argumentative.
This is Matt H.
Terrible
and Quincy.
Host.
You're a terrible host.
You're a terrible host.
Hey, guys. Great show last week. The John Hanna segment was excellent. It's so much better than when Paul is there.
No, I know it didn't say that.
Hey,
you're
Frank.
You're not going to fool me again.
I know you were all giddy saying that Hanna wanted to go play for the Raiders because it was a cool place to play. You think it may have been that he just wanted to go play with his brother Charlie? Anyway, it was great stuff. I hope you can occasionally get some of the past Patriots of different eras to come to the show. The stories are fun to hear.
Wait a second, Andy. Didn't Hanna say he wanted to play for the Raiders?
Yeah.
And didn't Hanna say it was because they wouldn't pay him
yeah.
here?
Yeah. It's nice to see the Crafts bringing these guys back into the fold. It's what the true legacy teams do. It is nice to have that a little
yeah.
bit, to cultivate a history.
And as soon as they get another Hall of Famer, we'll bring him back in the fold, too.
Craig Sawish. Sawish. Why are you giving me that shaking head? The guy's got a funny name. There's lots of funny names in our listeners.
I don't understand why you find every name funny. That's what we give you a laugh.
So wish,
about.
You know, a three-pointer, so wish. But you spell it differently.
Such
hey.
An idiot.
Hey, A-Team, with all this talk recently about the age of the linebackers and how they didn't draft one high is getting old. Is it possible that Belichick prefers linebackers who are older and are proven over the younger guys in the draft who are hit or miss? Instead, they focus on
everybody's hit or miss. If you thought that way, you wouldn't draft anybody.
Right.
Instead, they focus on using lower picks to get projects that may someday or never become starters. I added the or never.
But
like
I would
a Tully Vantakane.
I would argue I can get a safety in round four. Mm-hmm. So why take one?
I think any position is a crapshoot. I think you can get – there's plenty of busts in every position.
And I notice that the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Chargers, they've been taking linebackers high. I know they've all been in the Pro Bowl, so maybe you've seen them. It wasn't really a crapshoot for them. Manny Lawson, he had a great rookie year. Cameron Wimbley, he had a great rookie year. It wasn't a crapshoot for them.
With that said, and based on what you guys have been, well, if I'm Fred here, guts have been safe from them, do guys like Alexander or Woods have the potential to emerge as future starters? Craig from Boxborough, P.S. Boxborough likes Andy Hart and his excellent analysis.
Go ahead.
Except for the other guy from Boxborough. Alexander Woods have the potential to emerge as future starters. No. I do not believe so. I think we've seen Eric Alexander top out. You can't say the same thing about Pierre Woods. I just don't see him as a starting playmaker type guy.
Yeah, probably not. We'd have to watch Woods for one more year, see
right.
if he makes that huge jump in year two where we think he's got some potential, but most likely not.
I think Eric Alexander has shown he's probably an emergency backup and a special team.
Would you guys agree that Woods' best-case scenario would probably be Tully Vantakane in a
yes.
couple years?
Yes.
One of those type of guys?
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
And the other guy, Mays, I've never really been all that in love with anyway.
I haven't seen you know, we haven't get to see that much of those guys either, though.
But you will this year.
But I think
because right when those old guys leave in the preseason, you're going to get plenty of the Eric Alexanders, Pierre Woods.
Well, we've seen we have seen a ton of Alexander. Alexander has been a prominent preseason
player. But I'm talking about
player.
Woods and Mays.
Woods and Mays, I haven't seen as much of, but I think that a Tully Bantakane comparison for Woods. That's probably
so he's a future starter who will leave for millions of dollars.
Well,
elsewhere.
He's a future guy who might be able to be a fringe contributor.
And then leave.
We'll leave for millions of dollars elsewhere.
That's all I'm saying.
If we're going with a direct comparison, and you know, right now somewhere Pierre Woods is going nice.
Well, because I think that if you say that the Tully Bantakane, I think there's probably an element of our fans that would say that's pretty good.
Who?
And if you
did have 2.5 sacks on Monday Night Football once.
Is it like having a guy in a monkey suit hosting the show?
What am I, the GM of the freaking Red Sox? Guy makes $4.5 million a year to wear a monkey suit.
He's known for his wit and his quick comebacks, according to some.
Wikipedia, baby, wrong again. All right, proceed. Are you done?
I'm done.
Good.
I've lost my mind.
What's your? I hate it when people don't sign their emails. So is it? Are we not supposed to read the name on the email address? Is that okay? I'm going to go with Steven. I won't give his last name at Comcast.net. Tom, Jake, and the Procreators. We're the Procreators now, Paul. I like that. Paul's cranky. Wondering what you guys think about the linebacker rotation with Seau in the mix. I see a run situation, starting rotation of Thomas, Bruschi, Seau, Vrabel. Seau proved to be very effective in shedding guards and either diverting the run or tackling strong. Vrabel is much better setting the edge in running situations than Colvin. In passing situations, I see Thomas, Bruschi, Vrabel, Colvin. What's your take?
I'm going to probably go less than that in passing situations. I think they end up with only three guys on the field, three of those guys.
I would be surprised if Seau sees a ton of action. I think he'll see some action. Yeah. I don't think it'll be as much as last year when he was pretty much the starter until he got hurt.
Right.
I don't see him contributing that much. Maybe I'm wrong.
Certainly not as an every down player, not without injuries. Now, if you have a situation where you know a Bruschi goes down or a Vrabel goes down, then he's pressed into a bigger role. But
he's clearly five right now, I would say.
But I think he's clearly five.
Yeah. A lot of Roosevelt Colvin being kind of pushed out by some of these.
Not by me.
The other guy's got him in the Pro Bowl with...
That's all right. Keep him fresh.
12 sacks.
All he's got to do is get to the quarterback. That's
and
it.
And in all likelihood...
It's easy to do now.
Just so you know, the truth will be in the middle somewhere where he'll start a lot of games and have like eight
and
a half sacks.
Well, according to all you guys, is he's just going to come in and rush the passer.
That's all he ever does.
Well, then
how is his role changing?
He'll be much fresher now.
I believe the quote was, nobody cares if you tackle a running back for a 50-yard loss, but if you get a 1-yard sack, everybody cheers.
I don't want to be the guy to tell you that Mike Vrabel is overrated as a pass rusher, so don't make me go there. You put Thomas on the edge.
He won't go there anyway. You're a chicken.
That's night and day compared to Vrabel. Thomas is a terror on the edge. You put him there, you got a game plan to stop him. There goes Colvin. Say goodnight.
Oh, we got to scroll up here. Interesting just coming in. By the way, webradiopatriots.com. If you want to join the show, webradiopatriots.com. We've got a John Stanfield checking in. Subject Tom Casale. Hi, I'm Tom Casale's cousin. Is this accurate?
No.
Oh. I'm a huge supporter of Tom's, an athletic supporter, and was wondering what you guys thought about his chances of making the... Should I stop reading? Why are you shaking your head, Gary? What are his chances of making the PFW roster or even sticking around in the practice squad? I think his upside is tremendous. I really think he's like Eric Alexander, and he's pretty much topped out at this point. I don't think we can all hope to get much more from Tom Casale.
I don't even think
Casale.
He's as good as Eric Alexander.
No, I've peaked.
That's true. At least Eric Alexander has shown something on special teams. Who would Tom be? Marquise Hill?
No. I've done more than Marquise Hill.
That's true, you have. Gary's done more than Marquise Hill, and he plays free cell all day long. No offense, Gary. Solitaire, Rob Kreppel in Arlington, Virginia. See, that one's not funny. Subject, NFL Network et al. Shouldn't Fred or PFW be paying for you to get the NFL Network, college football, or other sports channels? He assigns you to write about other teams, players, draft, etc.
This is a good point.
It is work-related. Also, what's the lowdown on the anti-Christ Ron Borgos?
We don't need to talk about that.
But I could just get it, because then I'm just going to make it a tax deduction.
I mean, you could make an argument that...
I deduct my entire cable bill as it is.
But the other side of that that coin is that we don't get to watch it.
Right. You wouldn't be talking about very many games.
So aren't we, we're here 8 weeks out of the year, plus we have the bye week. That's 9 weeks. 9 weeks.
What are you talking about?
9 weeks I can watch college football.
Yeah, I can watch, there's at least 15 college football games with which I can
are
watch.
Are you still talking about Fox Sports Midwest or whatever?
Yeah. He's but obsessed other, with Air Force Colorado
but
State.
The other
I don't
thing
get
is,
it.
Is that I don't watch ESPN anymore. I've cut it out of my life. So I need the NFL Network.
That's a sad thing.
I need the NFL Network to watch my highlights because that's the only place I'll watch
highlights.
Well,
that's too bad.
Josh Tolles, Arlington, Virginia, formerly known as our favorite emailer right up until he was unseated by Doug's four orders of boneless buffalo. Josh brought it up a notch when he went to the two. He's kind of like Mark McGwire. He broke the record, but boom, right there after Barry Bonds was swooping in with his
so we gotta wonder
juiced
about
up
Doug.
Swing.
We got to worry about Doug then, huh?
Yeah, Doug clearly...
he's maybe, you know...
Enhanced.
See, doing a little something on the side, get a little supplementary income somewhere that he has disposable.
So next week somebody's got to go, you know, like eight orders of boneless buffalo
wings. Did those buffalo wings fall off a truck?
You think they're stolen?
Well, you know, you got to wonder.
Speaking of things falling off of trucks and shady guys, where's James the iPod guy?
I was thinking about that the other day.
You know,
you drove him away.
Christmas is coming again, James.
did you give him one last clunker or something?
No, I know he did bad in like the bowls.
Nice job. Ooh. You're dead to him.
He wasn't getting
he
in touch
up
with
like,
me.
He ended up like Coco.
Or maybe he did so badly he's dead.
He might be
That's
dead.
What I'm saying. He ended up like Coco.
He may be
he's
dead.
The guy that Tony gave the beatdown to Saturday, Sunday night.
He may be dead.
Teeth all over the place.
Well, anyways.
So there's blood on your hands.
James, if you're alive, I'm really enjoying that iPod.
All right, but Josh checks in and says, just read Andy Stewiehart's wiki page. Priceless. I think my favorite part would be, quote, for the most part, Andy is well-liked by his coworkers, although he hasn't reached the same level of popularity amongst Patriots fans. A large part of that has to do with his disdain for the Irish. Hey, Tom, how much do you think Thomas's sack count will suffer this year since you are predicting Colvin's jumping up?
I think he'll have a pretty good year. I think he's going to be doing a lot of different things, though.
So how many? Give me a number.
What did he have last year?
11?
Right.
I believe he had 11.
He had 8 or 9.
How many sacks are they going to have? Are they going to be among the league leader?
Well, the one thing the one thing I would say in Tom's favor here is
they'll
think
be ahead.
Yeah, they're going to have
that's
so
part
many
of my
they're going to have so many leads and teams are just going to be exclusively throwing in the second halves of garbage time.
And who's going to be in
there's no one that thrives in garbage
hey,
time like
you.
Roosevelt Colvin.
Yeah, reaching out as he runs by to touch the guy first who slipped in the mud.
He gets more sacks when the guy rolls out to the sideline and he ends up stepping on the sideline, and he's the closest guy there. Sack.
See, you're beginning to see the strategy here. You're starting to see the strategy.
I still don't see him getting 12 sacks.
Oh, 10 is all I need.
Andy
you need 11.
We're huge in Iowa. We have a lot of Iowa fans.
Iowa and Ireland.
I don't like Ireland.
I'll tell you, wonders never cease how we're big in Ireland the way Andy just rips every single guy.
Well, they like it. They know it's all in good fun.
Some people do.
Plus, they're drunk. They should be able to take the joke.
Taking that kind of crap from the likes of you.
They're drunk. Plus, what else they got going on in life? They have green grass, potatoes, and Guinness. They got nothing else. PFW's huge over there. We're like, you know, Hollywood flashy big time to them. It is what it is.
Everett's Dan Ross catching a pass in the Super Bowl.
No one cares. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, guys.
Where is he now?
This is kind of dead?
Dead.
He died?
Yeah.
How come?
Heart attack. Jogging.
Last year.
About a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Small school guy makes big in the NFL.
Yeah,
wonder
we
how
talked
he got
about
there.
It on this show.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
I usually tune out
minutes.
Northeastern. You know how you tune me out when I talk about lawnmowers?
Northeastern.
You were the one who brought it up.
Oh.
You said, Paul, you started the conversation.
I'm a bit all over the place at times. Hey, guys, this is kind of like when I leave my 9-year-old in charge of the house. You're doing good, Andy, but you should have bought a John Deere. Now that's a man's mower.
I agree.
Nah.
You got to get one of those hats that say John Deere on it.
You know what that is?
That's
Fred
where Mike
Kirsch.
Elgin's going to work as soon as they let him go. Oh,
Fred,
sorry.
Fred Kirsch.
After his football career's over.
Fred Kirsch buys into the name, and you spend an extra $400 just because it says John
Fred
Deere.
Fred has to have the name.
Not me.
See, I subscribe to that theory.
Well, it depends what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Fred needs the name with anything, though.
No, but Fred needs the best. When you tell him that you can, these three are the top, he goes, well, I got to have number one. Me, I say, well, which of the three is the best of the three.
Now, Andy, I will give credit to, because Andy does a lot of research in this stuff with the Consumer Reports and things like that, and he does his due diligence.
Actually, they didn't do so well in Consumer Reports.
But I think that in general terms, that the old cliche that you get what you pay for is very accurate.
I agree.
And I tend to subscribe to that when I can.
Well, now,
doesn't mean I go out and get the best car, you know, because it costs $200,000 instead of, you know.
Because he works here.
instead of a $20,000 Accord.
Because he works here. If he could afford the $200,000 car, he might get it. But I actually bought it because it has the Kohler engine. Did a little research, and that's a better engine than the old Briggs and Strattons. Anybody out there who works for Kohler might be able to help me out on that and make sure I'm right. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why is Vinny there? Isn't he like 75? Well, Gary, since you've been on the forefront of this breaking story here, Gary's not happy with me.
Next topic.
No one's happy with you.
Oh, come on. That guy liked me.
Even Tom's not laughing at you anymore. He laughs at everything you say.
I'm thinking about changing your Wikipedia page to where it says, for the most part, your coworkers like you.
Webradio@patriots.com.
Paul, why don't you read that?
Webradio@patriots.com.
The last time we did that, we...
Yeah, we can't talk about those types of things, Gary. Let's move on. You know that. Play that clip again. Moving on. Arthur Next Knowles, up. And he ends it by saying, no relation to Beyonce. And he actually knows how to make the E with the little line over it. You know how? Cause we,
I don't know how to do that.
I don't either. Can we have to do it with Dante Stallworth? Except I just end up with an E and then
it. This was updated a little bit, and I didn't know that. That's
We've
why
been
Gary
down this road before, and we get in trouble when we go down this road.
It was previously rumored that Andy, a former professional trainer, was on steroids, earning him the nickname Andy on Andro. He has clearly been worried about the crackdown on performance-enhancing drugs and has shrunk considerably.
Hey.
The lack of such performance-enhancing drugs came back to haunt Andy as he lost an epic game of tennis to PFW's Fred Kirsch in 2006. Andy is also considered the PFW connoisseur of the female form and has touted his admiration for Jessica Alba, Jessica Simpson, Shakira, and puzzling choice Kit from Cold Pizza.
I do kind of like her. Glad you didn't go with another name that's puzzling there that Paul knows, because that one would be embarrassing and I'd probably get mad.
Oh, yes. There's one that's highly... Even I don't think it's appropriate for this show.
Sometimes,
and I have no filter whatsoever.
Sometimes, yeah, come on. You must know that, Tom. Sometimes there's a girl and you know she's not really hot, but for some reason...
Yeah, I have one.
She gives you a little feeling.
I have one that we also can't talk about on this show. It's not the one you're thinking of, the one from my previous employer.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Not Lori.
No, it's not her.
No.
I'm not allowed to talk about Lori either.
No, she's out too, right?
Yeah, she's an ex-cheerleader.
Well, plus, you know, the whole office was in accordance, right? So we can't really mention anybody else.
Now I don't even know what we're talking about.
In other words, the only person we can make fun of is Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom.
That's what we're trying to say.
And that's no fun because that's a softball lobbed up in front of you.
That just gets boring
right.
After a while.
Artie from Keene, New Hampshire. I was thinking as you were talking about elite speed receivers and a comment made by Bill B. I could be way off base, but if I remember correctly, Bill was saying that he thought that some of the rookies and draft prospects would train on drills, not on football skills. Something like if he could, he would not tell rookies to train for the combine, but to work on football skills. He seemed quite adamant about that. I wonder if he might have been feeling a little more heated because he might feel he got a little burned by Chad Jackson last year. I mean, his speed is supposed to be to have never...
This didn't have anything to do with
receivers. ...seems to manifest itself in the football field. I guess we'll never actually know how or what Bill feels, but I thought... He talked about that in the past.
Yeah, and he talked about it
post-Chad Jackson.
Right, and he's talked about it every year at rookie minicamp. And
right.
He wasn't talking about receivers. He's talking about, in general...
He's talking
about
those buildings they go to
and
they practice just for the tests.
And he's talking about the state of conditioning among the rookies is never where he thinks it should be. And he thinks the reason for that is these guys spend so much time preparing specifically for the combine. And the one he always uses is, it doesn't matter how far you can broad jump.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one he used again this year. He uses it all the time. But it's nothing to do with receivers specifically. It's always just the state of overall conditioning for the rookies is not where he wants it to be.
And this year it was basically because of the Corey Hilliard. That's why the question was asked, I believe. And when he answered it, he didn't seem very happy about it. And I don't think it had anything to do with receivers. I think it was more of one of his guys came to camp and was in such bad shape that he threw up on the field and had to be helped off.
Paul, can you remember anybody else throwing up on the field?
Yeah, but not necessarily
Dan Klecko.
In that kind of a situation.
Klecko led that team to the Super Bowl, Gary.
Like, I've seen it in games. It happened, was it Brewski?
A couple years ago. It happens in games sometimes.
It happens in games, especially early in the season. You know, when the intense heat.
I just don't really remember it.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times, but this was a specific, you know.
Larry is reporting that Donovan McNabb once threw up in a game.
This was a specific lack of conditioning issue, though, with Corey Hilliard.
Right. That really, really bothered a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Real. He's like me. That's like one of those things where I see one thing. Corey Hilliard could come out, start 16 games, go to a Pro Bowl, you know, dominate, and he's always going to be, in John Hanna's mind, the guy who puked at rookie minicamp.
Patrick Pass?
Yeah. Exactly. Patrick Pass.
Shut up.
Yep. John Hanna, I think.
Caught him right now.
I think he would have cut Corey Hilliard right now if he had been in charge. And according
like
to the Herald,
John,
he is in charge.
I was going
to
say, but I like John Hanna, but I think that's why he's not in charge.
Right.
And he admitted that. He admitted that, you know, the game is so different now, he can learn more from them than they could ever contribute and all that. He's very upfront about that. But as an old school Bear Bryant disciple, that really, really bothered him. And I like it. It should bother him. It should bother Corey Hilliard. That's embarrassing. I mean, when you're looking to make a team, and that's terrible. Oh, guess who's checking in? Owen. From Belfast, Ireland. Hey, guys. Just sitting
is
here
his
with
last
a...
name Costello?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Owen's my favorite emailer. That's the one who emailed into PFW and said if there was more Tom Casalis in the world would be a better place. Now, this
he's
guy...
he's a drunk. He's a raving
drunk.
This
guy knows
drunk.
What he's talking about. I like him. All right, go ahead, Owen.
Figures you would align with the drunks. Just sitting here with a bottle of vodka and a bag of potatoes and a few questions have popped into my small Irish brain. This is the one I really like. It's Patty that isn't so fun. See, there's angry drunks and there's fun drunks. Well, Owen is a fun drunk. Patty is an angry drunk.
Tom's a fun drunk.
Yeah, I'm a fun drunk like Owen.
And we all learned why. Patty has, you know, a small wee-wee. True or false? Junior Seau will rank in the top five in tackles amongst Patriots today.
What?
Well, not today, but amongst Patriots. I'll just stop it without his word today.
I don't know. What's the question?
Is he going to be in the top five in tackles?
Who?
Junior Seau.
No.
Brewski, Vrabel.
Paul doesn't even listen.
Warren.
False.
Yeah, false.
Brewski, Vrabel, Warren, what?
Seymour. And then someone else.
You could have somebody in the secondary will have a bunch of tackles, a safety or something.
Yeah.
False. I'll go with false. Randy Moss will receive for 1,000 yards next season.
See, I think it's going to be right around there.
I'll say true.
I'll say true, too. Just over 1,000.
I'll go true. Dante Stallworth will have over 1,000 yards next
false.
Season.
False.
I'll go true. Merriweather will start at free safety by week 6.
False. Now,
false.
Good radio waiting for Tom to answer.
Does that count injuries?
I was counting in my head.
I don't know. Just says we'll start.
And I'm sure we'll all forget about this by next week. So
and Owen will forget about it when he passes out later. Who's banging something? Stop it. That's very loud. Asante Samuel will start against the Jets in week 1.
True.
You all said yes already.
True.
Unless they don't start him because he held out some in camp and it's a bit of a slap on the wrist.
Boy, we'll really be paying for that.
Ty Warren.
So we'll return. Jets 7, Patriots nothing. Jericho Cotchery, 89-yard touchdown. We'll be back in a moment.
Ty Warren will see his contract. Will see out his contract and enter free agency.
True.
Does that mean he's not going to be here anymore?
Well, he'll get to free agency. No, I guess he could re-sign technically after.
He might re-sign. I just think that he'll get to free agency.
Yeah, true.
False. He'll do a long-term deal here. Andy is a wanker. Our word for jerk.
True.
True.
Thanks, guys.
No, very true.
P.S. The stereotype that Irish people have tiny penises is not true. We actually only have testicles. Where's that bar exactly, Paul, when emailers are
saying no
tiny
testicles? I have no idea, but I'm going to start calling you a wanker.
I don't even know what wanker means.
I didn't know what Brad
their word
means.
For jerk.
Well, Gary is indeed a wanker. Josh Toll's checking back in. There was a linebacker chucking in the Denver game last year. Patrick Chukwuerah.
From Arkansas. That was in the preseason, right?
While the Pats were running the 2-minute offense at the end. Don't remember his
name. Oh, was in this?
Yeah, it was Denver.
Second
You're
senior.
Right.
They had a pretty good shot.
It's Chukwuma.
Absolutely, he's right. Josh is right. Okay. I remember that.
Well done, Josh. You don't just provide good food, but you have some good answers to our questions. Andy in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, transplanted from Maine. And he wrote that funny. Hey, guys. I enjoy the show weekly, either live when I can, like today, or later on Wednesday nights. Well, email in as often as you can, Andy. A much-needed taste of Pat's talk. Is it just me, or has anyone else noticed that that you occasionally capitalize words for no reason? The last four picks in the draft for us all played in the hula bowl this year. He does. He has random words capitalized. Seems like a lazy way to do your draft scouting. Watch the hula bowl game. Getting late in the draft, already stole the headlines for day two. Ah, give your four from the bowl game. In Hawaii, we saw Scott. I don't know what that means. I don't think that's what they did. They all played in the hula bowl. Is that the case?
I didn't watch the hula bowl.
What about all the guys that played in
the
senior
bowl? Mr. Draft Expert didn't watch the hula bowl?
I was away.
Well,
where were you?
I was somewhere. So
he wrote a terrific recap of it, too.
I watched the senior bowl. I watched the East-West Shrine game. And I watched that stupid one on Christmas. What else do you want from me?
Texas versus the Nation?
No, that I did not watch.
Was that even on TV?
No, it was not.
Those bowl games, they got issues. WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. Coming down the home stretch here, last 20 minutes or so. Get your emails in, give us a call.
Boy, there's only 20 minutes left in the show?
Why? I think it's been a fine show. Well, what do you think we've left off? We've discussed a number of relevant topics.
Do you ever notice whoever's hosting and gets made fun of gets very defensive? Because we all do it. We all do it. What's wrong with the show?
Screw you guys. This is L checking in. That's all he signed with. Hey, guys, I have a question.
That was an accident.
I have a, well, it like, do you hear it resonating and like bong, like we're inside the freaking great bell and whatever that's called?
I do,
brotherly
but that was
love
an accident.
Bell. What's it, Liberty Bell?
The brotherly love bell. You are a buffoon.
Yeah.
You can save that one, Gary.
No, you don't need to. I have a question about the whole unbeaten season thing. Who effing cares?
Me.
Well, everybody
you
would
are
care
a
if they...
I'm all for something that's never been done.
I mean, everybody
no one,
would care.
No one's ever gone 19-0.
Personally, 13-3 with home field advantage throughout is fine with me. Let the Colts worry about going unbeaten, assuming they're going to win their division. Okay.
All right. So now we want to lose.
What's the Michael Gee theory?
And it's also the theory that it was better that they didn't win the Super Bowl last year because it gave them more incentive to get better this year.
I sniff a tick, tick, tick,
tick. Tick, tick,
ball's
tick,
getting
tick,
close to erupting here. So
now, does it matter if you win the Super Bowl whether you went undefeated or not? No, it doesn't. If you go on to win the Super Bowl, no one cares if you went undefeated.
But if you
not.
Went undefeated,
but if you go undefeated
the season
and win the Super Bowl, that's
sports.
I mean, that's never happened. 19-0 never happened. 17-0 only once. 19-0 never.
If they go 19-0, greatest season in the history of sports.
I think you could certainly make an argument for
it. I think so. I know it's a little hard to do this, but it's not certainly not a cakewalk schedule.
I mean, you could make an argument that, you know, a basketball team that goes 70-12 and then, like, rolls through the playoffs,
yeah,
like 16-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly comparable to 19-0.
I think football's harder to win consistently. There's a lot of, like, things up in the air. Basketball, give me the two best players and I get a chance.
Well, that's a different argument.
No, I know, but I think that makes it harder. I think it's inherently harder to win consistently in football than it is in any other sport.
Tom shaking his head, that wasn't me.
That was me banging the baseball against the desk.
Oh, okay.
Also, I was listening to ESPN Radio the other day, and they had some absurd NFL show with Sean Salisbury. In the top five power rankings, he had both Carolina and New Orleans. Think about that for a minute. See, this is a guy that he capitalized a word for. Emphasis. It was clear that he wanted to capitalize it. It wasn't by accident.
Okay. Let's see here.
I need to read the last line because it's the best line. As the ESPN sock puppets go, he's the worst.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that Sean Salisbury is definitely the worst. Let's attack that for a second. Let's off the top of your head, let's give you power rankings. Patriots?
Yes.
Colts?
Yes.
Chargers?
Broncos.
Broncos?
Yes.
Not Chargers.
Not Chargers.
So we got three.
Chargers.
We got three. Who else?
Chargers.
I just said not Chargers. You said no.
Not three. Chargers,
all right,
four.
Four. So now you got four.
Now an NFC team.
Okay. So you can't have both the Saints and the Panthers.
Not in mine.
Now, the Panthers wouldn't even be in my top 10. I'm not making that argument. But just wondering if there's room for two NFCs in the top five, and there's not.
I don't think there is.
I would agree.
Now, mine, my, you know, I've kind of fallen in love with the Broncos. And I don't think everybody would agree with me.
I want to see Jay Cutler do something first.
Okay. I got no problem with
That's all. Like, I saw Philip Rivers last year do something, where I'm going to look at this year and say, I think that he can make a progression and be more of the reason why they win this year. Whereas last year, I thought, at least for the first half of the year, he was more of a stay out of the way, don't make any mistakes. He kind of turned the corner there in that shootout win that killed Tom in Cincinnati, where he put the team on his back and won the game. And I think from that point on, he was responsible for a lot of their success. So I'm looking for him to have a better year. I haven't seen that out of Jay Cutler yet, but doesn't have the same experience either. Not fair to compare the two.
Right. He was fresh-faced, right on the field, boom, win.
And of course, he was surrounded by no talent in college, so we had no
way. Well, I was
going to
say, that's what made it hard for him. For the first time in his career, he had a little bit of talent around him, so there was an adjustment phase there, learning that people could actually play. He didn't see that at Vanderbilt when they stalked him with Tom Casale-type players. Dan Heffron checking in from Fairfax. I added that information to Andy's Wikipedia page when I heard Tom talk about it today.
That's
however,
what it was.
Whoever set that up did a great job. I agree. It was very funny and humorous. For some reason, after Paul read it on the air, someone from Wikipedia removed it and said it was not constructive, so the whole kit thing isn't there anymore.
What?
Somebody apparently removed it. Gary, can you effort to check on that?
How do you do that?
They removed it.
I don't know.
Is there someone that actually monitors?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you're right,
so the whole thing's gone now?
But what was wrong with it?
My whole page is gone? Oh.
No, the whole last paragraph.
Wait a minute.
Apparently somebody from Kit's camp complained.
Someone else had to remove that. No one from Wikipedia could have removed
it. I agree. Do you see some of the stuff that's on there?
Plus, how would they know?
Yeah. Why, is there bad stuff on there?
Yeah.
Like porn and stuff?
I don't know. There's like...
vulgarities?
There's no vulgarities in this.
I'm saying somebody from Kit's camp listens to this show and complained.
See, I'm not.
Does
I'm
Kit have a camp?
I'm saying someone in this...
What happened to Kit?
I'm saying someone
around?
In this building removed it.
Is Kit still around?
I don't know even know who that is.
The girl from...
I know that. I don't know who it is. I never watch Cold Pizza.
I don't think she's on it anymore. I think she might be on that Girls Gone Wild Real World tour. You seen the ads for that late night? Those Girls Gone Wild videos?
You gotta see them late night, huh?
Well, yeah, they're not on regular time.
What are you doing when you're feeding Jackson?
We're seeing what's on.
All
you can't order those, though. Have you ever seen the fine print? You order one for the $9.95 price, but then at the bottom it says, future ones will be shipped to you at $29.95.
What's this?
I've never looked into
Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, I watched it for my bachelor party. I didn't know they showed down below.
Oh, I didn't either.
My
God. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just a top shelf item.
Oh, no. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
Wow. That's amazing.
I never looked into trying to order those. So
I didn't look into it. You read the
fine
print.
You read the fine print.
Oh, you want to
I'm sorry, but that's step two on the process.
As you said, I make educated purchases. I don't just jump right into things. You know how mad Deidre would be if every month it said like $30, Girls Gone Wild, Girls Gone Wild, Girls Gone Wild?
So that's the only reason why you don't get it?
Well, it would be a waste of money, too. I've seen some of them. It gets old after a while. Although the ones I saw didn't have...
Well, that's porn in a nutshell.
South of the border.
Right, Tom?
They went down below, the one I saw.
I'll be honest with you, I don't like down below.
I was just surprised to see it.
Here's another classic.
Some of it was pierced.
That's Tom bringing this show down. Yo, Andy, this is Eric Ellis from the Cape. According to ESPN, he's retired. Keyshawn Johnson. Any opinions? I'm unable to have one until you give me one. Well, your opinion is, I think you'll be good on TV. He's cocky. Cocky makes for good TV. I think he's relatively smart. I think he's... keeps up with the league.
Like I said, the key I think is how much he is actually willing to, to criticize, to have take the filter off and talk about guys that he played with and against, his contemporaries, because I don't want to just hear all the rosy stuff. I want to hear his honest opinions because I think he's a pretty forthright guy. I don't always agree with him. I think he's loud and brash. I don't always agree with his tactics.
Well, you don't have to though.
But no, that doesn't. I mean. I'll give you an example, Jerry Callahan around here. I almost never agree with Jerry Callahan on a lot of his sports things. I'm not even talking politics when he's way over the top. But I think he's fascinating to listen to. He's a compelling guy to listen to, even when you're disagreeing with him, because I think he's a polarizing figure. I think Keyshawn has a lot of that in him.
I agree.
I'd be
I like those.
I'd be anxious to, I agree as long as there's some substance there. I think that...
I don't get lost in the substance.
I think Keyshawn can have some substance there. A guy that you like that I never did was Michael Irvin, who I just thought he's like Jamie Dukes. And the funny part is that you hate Jamie Dukes.
Because Jamie Dukes is a buffoon.
And I think that's what Michael Irvin is.
Sweats like a pig. He brings nothing to the table.
And if Tom didn't want to date him, he'd agree.
But the difference is...
he's also an overrated wide receiver.
I find Jamie Dukes fake, and I don't find Michael Irvin fake.
But Michael Irvin never said anything.
I don't care. I think he's genuine. I think that guy is the same guy you'd see if you hung out with him. He would be loud and annoying, and you might get mad with him. I think Jamie Dukes sees a little red light comes on and turns into a character. He's the bombastic guy on the NFL Network. That's the difference.
What is going
on? Tom's playing a game over here. We've lost Tom for the rest of the show.
Now he's all mad.
I'm playing the Cowboys, and I'm getting whooped. My only score is a kickoff return, and I almost had my second one just before the half.
All right, Paul, this one's for you. It's from TG in the Sprawl, NJ. What? Football is not enough? Question mark? You ready? Guys, what's going on? What's your take on the whole Patriot Place thing? What is the thinking behind it? They're doing the same thing down here in Jersey. Xanadu is the name of the shopping center entertainment complex that's being built here next to Giants Stadium. It's supposed to be huge. Is football being overshadowed here? Are all these retail and entertainment complexes a distraction from the games? Are fans supposed to go shopping at halftime? I can see it now. There's less than 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Pats are either up or down by 2 touchdowns. Yo, this game's over. Let's go shopping. It's hard enough to get the New England fans to stay the whole game as it is now. If all this development isn't compensated by improving Route 1, all your commutes just got exponentially worse. What do you think of the whole Patriot Place thing, Paul? Because I personally think it's a tremendous idea by the Crafts to move forward in this type of
I do, again. I think it's another one of those real signs of foresight on the part of the Kraft family. I don't think of it at all in the terms of, and I know that TG is probably not meaning this literally. I don't think it has anything at all to do with game day.
No, I don't.
It's not, I don't think, trying to entice people to shop on game day.
Although, are there some questions there of how it's going to work logistically on game day?
Yes, there are. And I actually wouldn't be surprised to see the stores close on game day.
But isn't that sort of cutting off a
big... I don't think they'll close.
Income flow there?
What?
I mean, like the Sunday before Christmas, you're not going to be open?
Well, I didn't say every game day. I'm just saying...
I just don't see how you can be a really viable competitor in that industry and be closed on, like, on a Sunday from 10 to 6 or something.
Once?
Well, I think it would have to be more than once, wouldn't
you're
it?
You're dealing with 10 times a year. Right. And if you want to say not around Christmas, so eliminate 3 of them. So now you're talking 7 times. You think that significantly put you at a disadvantage?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not going to argue with it because I know nothing about
business.
I think
malls are booming on the weekend. I think that's their time.
I just don't think that if you take one day out, it's going to make that much of a difference. But I don't know anything about business. So.
I do. I'll be shocked.
I don't think they're expecting people to go to leave the stands in a football game and go shopping. That's just me.
No, obviously they're not.
I think it's going to be cost.
That aren't going to go shopping.
I think it's going to be cost ineffective to have 68,000 people at your store not interested in being in it, stopping whatever many thousand people want to be in your store from going in it. I think it becomes almost a
I'll be shocked
hassle.
If they're closed.
It becomes almost a deterrent for the people who are going there just to shop on a game day.
Well, that's my question.
And that's why
how
I don't
are you
think
gonna get people to your store?
I think it's cost ineffective. But I don't know anything about business, so I'll be the first guy to admit it. You know, that might be the most naive.
If they're closed on Sundays, I'm saying they fail miserably.
I'm not saying to be closed on Sundays. I'm saying closing during the football on a football game. That's all.
Right.
That's not
Sundays. A big chunk.
That's 8 times a year. That's not like the whole every Sunday.
If they close 8 times a year on Sunday, I think they fail miserably.
Well, I think that you might lose money on those 8 Sundays that you're open. Because I think that you're going to cost yourself to have to be open and have to pay employees.
And I think they fail miserably.
Well, you might be right. That might happen.
I think that's a serious concern for them. We'll see.
I mean, I've been in malls on Sundays in the middle of July and there's no one there. So I don't necessarily see why closing, you know,
I think they'll
on a random Sunday while there's a game going
every
on.
Every mall I've
ever
been to is far busier
you.
On the weekend than it is any other time.
Sure, but I said.
So to me, that's their peak time.
I don't really know anything about business, so I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk about this. But I think
you don't know anything about football, and you talk about that all the time.
I think Patriot Place is a great idea, and I think it's not... Like I said, I don't think it's there to try to entice people that are going to the Patriots games to go in Bass Pro Shop.
All I have to say is Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, all these guys are some of the smartest businessmen in the world, and they're all doing it. Tells me it's probably a pretty good idea.
I agree.
I had a good idea once. Heated windshield wipers. I got a new one. You know how they have those Swifters with the vacuum built in that sucks stuff up after you put it around?
Yeah, it was a big topic of our conversation last December.
Sponge.
If you don't remember.
You get a sponge that has a little mini built-in vacuum, so when you're like pushing crumbs around the counter or on the table, it just sucks them right up. Could make a killing, no?
I guess.
Somebody out there right now stealing my idea. We have a lot of engineers that listen to this show. Guy who's playing Free Cell over there all show long decides to chime
in. I know, and that's the kind of stuff that makes us great. That you
random thoughts from Sean McLaughlin. Well, if they get any more random than the thoughts we were just having, we're in trouble. Hello, guys. What is going on? I guess not much, despite the passing camp this week and mini camp in 2 weeks. Other than that, it will be pretty quiet till the end of July. Since it is slow, I thought I'd touch on a few topics, some Pats related, some NFL, and some TV stuff. I love it when the emailers join in. One, would you want Vinny Testaverde on the team if it means that he took a space for Troy Brown or someone else that could contribute? Seems to me that Belichick is bringing some players like Testaverde and possibly Chad Brown and Seau, although he is more needed than just a sentimental signing, that it's all or nothing run to the Super Bowl for him, which leads me to... So the first part is, would you want Testaverde if it takes a roster spot from someone else who could actually contribute?
Well... No, I don't necessarily think there's any need for Vinny Testaverde on this team. I don't.
I don't either. I don't think people are going to be beating down his door to sign him, so you probably can get him when you need him.
I didn't quite understand it last year. I don't really see what role he filled, unless there was some sort of, you know, and if he had that big of an impact in terms of counseling for Brady, make him a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Make him an assistant quarterback coach or something. I don't know.
But and then at the end of the year, if you need him, make him a player.
Yeah, you can always do that.
Right.
You know, so
that way you're sure he's under your control if you need
him. I sort of agree with Sean on that. I don't necessarily see the benefits
Perfect.
Of having him on the roster.
Two, any more thoughts that we could be entering the final year of Bill Belichick? I know we got some picks for the next year, and Pioli keeps saying we are building a team for the future, but will Belichick be a part of it? Is it going to be a question that won't go away all year until here the Crafts make a definitive statement?
I suppose. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be back next year, but I suppose until they come out and say...
Will they?
I don't know. Do you just never have to say it, and I'm just going to keep coaching?
I don't know.
Boy, that'd be classic, wouldn't it? That would be classic.
You think they would feel the pressure at all to come out and make a statement he's signed through...
No, I suppose there's no reason that they would have to feel pressure. What do they care?
Right. So we may never know.
You know, Belichick always says, I never talk about my contract.
Right. And Mr. Kraft has obviously obliged by that and has never said anything. So I think there's a chance you just never really know year to year, week to week, whatever it is. So eventually you could just wake up one day and Bill Belichick is no longer the coach. Right?
Wouldn't that be that would be an unbelievable story if all of a sudden the season's over, you know, it ends, whatever, and all of a sudden they put out a press release. Bill Belichick is no longer the coach of the New England Patriots. His contract expired.
Or better yet, the other way. They just have
a
press conference. They hire
a new coach.
Dennis Green, head coach, New England Patriots. And everybody's like, whoa, what happened to Bill?
What happened to Bill?
I can't wait.
His contract expired.
Three, I know the Crafts are looking to make more money for the stadium and events there, but one of the biggest gripes at Old Foxborough Stadium is the parking and traffic. Now, it may not affect a Joe Schmo like me who comes to three games a year, but will the parking and traffic situation be worse this year with the extended development of Patriot Place?
I think it's going to be bad this year because of the actual construction. I think once the stuff is put in place, I don't think it'll be that big a deal.
I have trouble on the ramp every morning. I never know. They've moved the ramp like four times, and there's cops there.
Coming from your side, it's confusing as to where to go on.
Yeah.
Coming from my side, from the north side,
One lane or something?
Yeah, some days that lane is there, some days it's not, and they don't give you a turn lane. There's only one lane of traffic, so if you happen to be in traffic and there's a guy going 60 miles an hour behind you and all of a sudden you just put your blinker on to go left, the guy's like, what do you do? You know, it's kind of a confusing thing, and I don't feel real comfortable making that turn every day.
Four. I know you guys are big Sopranos fans. I feel like
I'm not.
I feel the show has been excellent this year, very moving. The only episode I did not like...
Watch Party of Five if you want to be moved.
...was the Hesh and Vito's son.
Now, you liked Party of Five.
Yeah, and when I watched it, I wanted to be moved. I didn't want someone's head to get blown off.
But can't wait for the next two. What has been your take? Well, we know Tom's take. It stinks.
What was the one that he didn't like?
Hesh and Vito's son.
I like that one.
What's up, Vito?
See, this guy, we're just not on the same page. You're watching The Sopranos probably with your wife and kids.
This is our boy Sean McLaughlin.
Touchy-feely thing. And
the only one I really didn't like was the last 50 minutes of last week after Christopher died. They killed Christopher. I thought that was great first 10 minutes, and then the rest of the show I really, really didn't like.
Finally, as a dog lover, I hope the NFL suspends Mike Vick for some time this year.
I agree.
I think Mike Vick is not only a bad QB, but he is a bad person. I think the only sports franchise in trouble for the next 10 years, besides the Falcons, is the Celtics.
You know what's funny? I'll take it a totally different direction. As a complete and total unabashed dog hater, I think Michael Vick should be jailed and punished for that. And I think he is a bad guy. I agree with everything Sean said. And I hate dogs. I just think that's a despicable thing that he did. I think it's a despicable thing that he did.
Thanks, guys. There's no other funny man in the biz than Tom Casale.
Is that supposed to be funny, by the way, that I don't like pets? And that's
a
shock.
No straighter man in the biz than Mr. Peeps. Is that you, Mr. Peeps?
Yeah.
You're the straight man in this little
who am I,
the idiot? Show? No, you're funny.
I'm dropping those funny comments like Paul doesn't like dogs.
There's a shock because I don't like dogs. There's a shock.
This is Pratt.
The guy who hates people.
It's actually pronounced Fouquet. I like dogs.
It's better that he hates people.
He's getting that kind of crap from his brother. Paul's brother hates me.
Hey, buds. I have a concern with the fact that all these wide receivers like Moss and Stallworth are being termed as one-year players. If the Pats indeed do come close to or win a championship this very season, I can't see Moss and Stallworth being let go. At least one of those guys will be kept for the long term. Normally, we would probably like to see them both stay on board, so many more Super Bowls would be secured, perhaps. But who knows with Moss? Hopefully, he won't revert to his old ways. Regardless, I just can't see Kelly Washington, Wes Welker, Gaffney/Caldwell as our starting receivers the following year. We have to retain Moss and or Stallworth for 2008. If I had my choice, I would definitely keep Stallworth, as he has less attitude issues and is the younger of the two. Please give your comments. Thank you, Dougies.
Boy, people fell out of love with Chad Jackson quickly.
I'm not so sure about the
fell
less...
out of or forgot.
I'm not so sure about the less attitude issues, by the way, with Stallworth. But
less than Moss.
Here's the thing: all of the guys, Moss is on a 1 year deal. Gaffney and Caldwell 1 year. Those guys are definitely free agents regardless, unless they get re-signed, extended during the course of the season before free agency. Stallworth, they have a choice on. Andy and I have talked about this a lot. If Stallworth has a good year, I don't think that number, you know, it's like $11 million or something with a lot of different tiers to the signing bonus and all that stuff. I don't think it's unreasonable. I think those are reasonable dollars if he has a good year to keep him. But chances are, guys, most of these guys are 1 year, one and out. And you're dealing with Welker, Chad Jackson, and whoever else next year. If Chad Jackson, you know, proves worthy of being around beyond this year.
One last email before we wrap up this circus, as Gary has deemed it. Quote, I only read the fine print. Yeah, and Austin Powers didn't write the book either. Kind regards, Scott. What does that mean? I think he's calling into question the fact that I only read the fine print on the Girls Gone Wild ads. But
right, I don't get the Austin Powers reference, though.
Scott, webradiopatriots.com. Email in next week. Tell us what the heck you are talking about.
I understand it.
Yeah, you would.
Anyway. It's the book about the penis pumps, remember?
Pump, but I don't really remember the book. Well done, Scott, but I really did only read the fine print. It's at the bottom of every commercial.
I watched 2 hours worth.
Well done. And apparently he got the gold Girls Gone Wild, which
includes... There was a whole stack of them. Apparently he put the right one in.
Creeps. Anyway, that's going to bring this show to a terrible, terrible end. PFW in progress for this Wednesday afternoon. Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, Andy Hart. Throw a shout-out to Jake Steele. See you next week.
Done. Satisfaction of what's to come.